You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, Shannon Gus here getting you ready for our week 15 coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. Two really important chats this week. Mike and I spoke to Werner on the recap. We got into everything about this week and looking ahead to the all-important finale next week. And then at about 2 hours and 34 minutes, I spoke to Tyson on the X interview. Some really important insights there. Obviously, there are a lot of questions coming out about his vote, and we talk about it a lot on the recap. I do cover it and kind of given my own words what he said, but you can skip ahead to 2 hours and 34 minutes if you want to hear that first, and then hopefully skip back for the recap to get all of our thoughts. But thank you guys so much for checking it out. Hope you enjoy, and I will see you on the other side.
Australian Survivor is a
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
Hello everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. I'm your host, Shannon Gus, here to discuss week 15. It is the penultimate week of the season, and it was a bit of a quieter episode until it wasn't, until like the last few minutes. We got a 2-1-1, which you should know by now, I love, and it was very, very exciting. So please welcome first my amazing co-host, the smash to my resume references. It is a great Mike Blue. Mike, thank you for being here.
Of course. Anella's coming in trying to beat, you know, the requisite Survivor player, right? With just, hey, we haven't mentioned resumes enough times in a Survivor season. This is modern Survivor. Let's like cram them all in at the end, much like Smash is doing, trying to do with the game proper, trying to do a lot of late game moves so that people will think, what have you done for me lately?
I find it endearing, but I feel like he didn't have a confessional throughout the entire episode where he said something about Chappie's brought the food and he's been seeing more. I'm going to bring this up to the jury. I'm going to do this for the jury. And I was like, oh my God, like, find you someone who loves you. Like, Smash loves his resume because that is like the greatest. That's a better love story than Twilight.
I don't know. I think the best love story, though, is obviously Chappie's and the art of food hoarding, because I still cannot believe for like the third or fourth episode, like a third of this season has been dedicated to Chappie's continually hoarding food. I'm so excited to talk about it. It's still a wild strategy to me.
Yeah, if you're not doing that, you're lazy and a bad person. You should know that. That stealing food is what makes you a good player and a better person. And otherwise, it's just like you're relying on others. Like, how bad can you be? So I can't believe that Chappie's and the narrative and Nico have like flipped it to that. But that is where we currently are. But we have to discuss this episode with such a great guest. And I said to him a few weeks ago, I said, let's bring you in for the recap of the final four. Let's traumatize you on a final four vote, not knowing we'd also have a juror removal. So the trauma was real for our guest this week. He is obviously a legend from Survivor South Africa, Philippines. It is the great Werner Joubert. Werner, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Shannon and Mike. It is awesome to be with you guys. And yeah, I was the unlucky loser at number four. And I was also unlucky player who played before the Chizzies was formally something in Survivor South Africa. So double loss for me.
Yeah, wow. You're not even including the fact that you were nullified as a juror. That would be the third strike.
Werner says he doesn't care about that. He said that at the time. He was like, I got voted out. I don't care about being on the jury.
You remember well, Shannon.
Yes.
You remember well.
Okay, this is something we have to address because last week I was like, former Shizzy winner Werner is going to be our guest. And then I got, fittingly, a DM from Rob's fact checker, also Shannon's fact checker, thank you, being like, you guys did not do a Shizzy in Survivor South Africa. And I was like, did we not?
Like, I'm sure we did thought about it. Was like, no, that's a Mandela effect. I just assumed we did it. I, of course, assumed that Verna won. We didn't do a Chizzy. We didn't. You know, I made that up in my mind. Verna didn't win. You're not a Chizzy winner. And I take back everything that I said about it.
I'm sorry you had to do that, Shannon.
I'm sorry that you didn't win the Chizzy. I'm sorry that we didn't do a Chizzy. I don't know what happened because we started late. We were doing a few episodes at a time. But yeah, I like hugely fact checked and like my whole perception of reality has now changed. So that's bad.
Well, thanks for caring in that way and apologizing.
Mike, did you think we did it? You didn't correct me last week. Did you think we did a Chizzy?
Well, listen, Shannon, my brain is just like a barrel of coconuts buried in the sand. That like I was just nodding along like this is Shannon's child. She knows it the best. So clearly I'm going to trust her judgment on that. But no, for those that might remember, Shannon and I were a little bit of latecomers. You know, we were running after that South Africa Philippines train as it was leaving the station, and we like barely hopped onto it at the last minute. And so for those first few weeks, we were just worried about like covering the season, let alone coming back to the Chizzy. So I think it would have made more sense had we started it from the beginning. But I think because our concern was so much more about, hey, let's check out this wild season, it wouldn't have happened. But I think, Werner, I think you get the spiritual Chizzy. I think if give you like the
into a Chizzy.
We would be invizzy.
Yeah,
exactly.
You win the invizzy.
Thank you.
You win the invizzy.
Thank you. I'll put it on my heart.
Exactly. You win the Invisalign, the invizzy, and so, may it brace you for years to come. Because I mean, you ran every week of that post merge up until you did it. And I mean, not to say we got a completely similar story here with the fourth place boot in Tyson. But it's an interesting trajectory, again, of someone who I think had a really strong game for the majority of the post-merge. We talked about this last week with Kieran. It all starts falling apart due to advantages and just the winds twisting in a certain way. The winds, I guess, being the form of Smash. And then now I would say it all comes crashing down. But in this instance, it was the building was crashing and Tyson had an opportunity to leave the building and said, no, 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 I will go down with the ship.
I don't know if you remember, like, I mean, it was the very same 2-1-1 I tried to flip.
Yes, Verna, I remember. Traumatizing thing for Verna that he also tried to do the 2-1-1 and it didn't work. And this one actually was a 2-1-1. Like, I don't even know how you came onto this podcast.
Yeah, no, it fell. The 2-1-1 fell, and in such a weird way that it was what I was hoping for.
Yeah,
it's still that way, right? So if it was that draw, we would have seen fire.
Yeah, I would have imagined we would have seen. I guess in this case, it would have been Tyson and Smash make fire in that regard.
Yeah.
And look, Tyson has shown. I don't know. We would have seen if it would have been a lucky stroke that he ends up being Santini, or if he continues to like nearly burn down the set. But yeah, I'm assuming that's what the tiebreaker would have been, unless LaRue had something else up his sleeve.
No, obviously fire. Yes. I mean, he could have earned himself his spot to fire. Like, that's the thing with 2-1-1s is that I feel like I've said this recently, is that your own power of your soul vote can earn you fire, and you vote wrong, you vote yourself out. This is not the first Tyson to vote himself out of Survivor. This is something that has happened.
Yeah, Shannon, you get to talk about that in like 5 days from now.
I know. It's such a crazy thing. Like, this is what we have to talk about. Like, firstly, parallels. I even felt, because I'm watching Heroes versus Villains for the rankings podcast, watching Tyson vote himself out of the game, watching this Tyson vote himself out of the game, I feel like there's like extreme parallels in these like last heroes remaining, last Zumbas, where it's like all Vuna and the villains. And then the parallels in Australian Survivor and Survivor South Africa, like, I feel like they're breaking my brain, because we get messages sometimes like, can you not discuss necessarily Australians and South Africa? And I try not to. I've tried really hard not to, as I'm covering them at the same time, because people watch at their own pace. But the parallels this season are just beyond, like, they're all within days of each other every single time. And like, spoiler alert, I guess, like, I have to talk about the fact that not a week ago Australian Survivor had a 2-1-1 that I think is most similar of all of them to like this 2-1-1, purely out of final four, no quit, no nothing. Like, it happened. It is the most pure 2-1-1, these two pure 2-1-1s that we've had at the final four. And like, I can't not talk about the fact that this, what, how did we get two of them within a week? My brain is broken. I'm sorry, but like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about a little bit. I mean, because I think we might refer back to Australia as we go on. And because I actually didn't know we're going to start here, but I wrote some notes down here. Because for me, like Survivor in South Africa and Survivor Australia, it's like there's a dance going on. Like since Australia rebooted and us with season six, it's like we see challenges. Like I've seen challenges from Australia, like coming down to South Africa. But then, you know, it's hard for me not to see Chappies when I look at Emmett's confessionals and the other way around. You know, look, I haven't followed all the podcasts. Is this the first time someone has mentioned this? It cannot be.
No, that is actually that's yeah. a parallel that has not been discussed.
I cannot believe that. I mean, Emmett refers to him as the you know, he's the plant-based Superman, and he psychs himself up, and Chappie does exactly the same yeah. thing. And, you know, they show their muscles. They got the thing going, you know, with challenges. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Emmett won, what, like 5 or 6 individual challenges before he was voted out. Chappies has now tied a record, looking to possibly break it next week. So, yeah, I'm seeing it. I mean, I do think that Chappies is obviously a bit more of a fan of the game than Emmett. I do not think that maybe Emmett would necessarily do the stuff around camp than Chappies is doing. But I do think from like an archetypical perspective, I very much think they're filling the same color, but they're very different shades of that color.
I wonder if they're both, if they're not like almost, I don't know if they know, well, Emmett must know who David is, Golden Dave. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Chappies knows, but it's almost like they're in his wake. David is incredible, but it's almost like you see little David disciples, you know, like psyching themselves up in the confessionals and also quite good in challenges. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I could see parts of that, but I think that like Chappies is so unique in so many ways. The fact that hoarding food is like his main strategy that will win him jury favor, as we're hearing, like that's a bit original to me. But I mean, between these two seasons, like the uniqueness to get 2 2-1-1s, we've had like the similar kind of double agency plays, we've had idol and advantage passing, mm-hmm. we've had like that's never happened ever before. We had like voting confessionals yelling in the voting booth, which is, you know, maybe more common, but happened within days of each other. Like they're very, very different seasons. Like they are so different. This was like the super fan season, the strategic season. That's like the no one's ever watched the show. Very different value season. Like it's just these little things within days of each other. And then when they read out one vote, one vote, one vote, days ago, I said there's no better thrill in the world than 1-1-1 and there's one vote left and it could go any of three ways. And at the yes. exact same time, me and my husband yelled out a 2-1-1, which is why I married him.
Aww.
And I just couldn't believe you're getting this within the same week. It's just crazy that it happened. And Tyson definitely elaborated a lot on that in his exit, which I will give. I feel like we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit. Like I wanted to ask you, Verna, on a whole, we haven't even like looked at this from a macro perspective. Like, how have you been enjoying the season? Because I haven't even spoken to you about your thoughts on like how you've been liking watching it back.
You know, can I just put that question on pause for 1 second? There's something else I want to still ask about SA and AU, and then we can move into that if you're
Please,
okay with that.
Go ahead.
I wrote here, I think when Survivor South Africa season six came out, I think. And then Australia around that time, it was just before that when Australia came out and Christy won. And what I saw in Australia is I saw almost like I don't know if it's a better word for it, but like almost like a sportsmanship in the game. Like people would gun for one another. Mateship. They would laugh. Mateship. Of course, mateship. How can I? And then, but I didn't see in Australia, maybe in the pool of players, maybe the fandom I saw in South Africa, right? But then in South Africa, I saw the strategy, but I didn't find a lot of mateship. She'd find more almost like bitterness, you know, dark. It's dark. The jury is a dark place. A blind side is a dark moment. Whereas in Australia, I can't believe you guys did that. And there's almost like a cheer and a celebration. Now, for the first time, I see glimpses in Survivor South Africa of mateship. I know there's still dark spots, but you start to see, you know, someone like Anela and Santoni, they're playing, they're going this way, they're going that way. And it's not always well received, but I'm starting to see a little bit more of a brighter, a lighter Survivor South Africa. I enjoy the mateship, but I also enjoy hard play. You know, and then I don't know, maybe how do you guys see that? Is that a weird thought that I'm putting on the table here?
Well, I think you actually are discussing sportsmanship. Like, mateship is more the entitlement that they had in like the early seasons of 2016 of Australian Survivor,
which I would say is still somewhat prominent in South Africa. Look no further than what happened to Jacques last season. I think still what Tyson is espousing, like even this episode, right, where he says Chappies isn't a good person, but I respect him as a competitor. Like, I think there are people that still hold that mentality. I also don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that Tyson is someone who hasn't seen admittedly much of the show beforehand and has that kind of attitude of how Chappies plays indicates who he is as a person. But yeah, I would say that, you know, that attitude, I wouldn't say has gone away in Australian Survivor, but I do think maybe as, I think it's a casting thing, maybe, that, you know, we're not really bringing in as much as we're bringing in people who don't really have seen the show in season six, we're not bringing in like the Sam Webb types of how dare you even try to strategize. That's not what Survivor is about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it as like a huge disparity between the franchises. I honestly think it's season by season, even though it's such different casting. I see Philippines is so fun and light. I see a lot of this season is really fun and light. Obviously last season, quite dark.
Yeah.
And for Australian Survivor, last season All-Stars I thought was pretty dark. I thought 2016, again, that entitlement could get a little dark, but then like 2019, 2017, really fun. Like I don't see it as one's the dark one or the more strategic one and one's the like really divorced from strategy or not caring as much. Like I think it is season by season for me, but I feel like the value system of these current seasons, I love how they're like, don't talk about them together. And I'm like, here are all the thoughts I've had unleashed on the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah, but you're not going into specifics though. So I think that's what they're saying.
But I do think that these two seasons and value system are opposites. Australia is super, super brawny, very, very social. Like, it's not, to me, it's not, with extreme outliers, which is funny because there are extreme outliers who have kind of driven that game through a brawnier social mentality, whereas this season has been the strategist for super fans, and it might be Chappies winning out that drives through and wins the game. So that, again, is like a really interesting yin-yang parallel where it's these very opposite value systems, but the one from the other season is the thing that will drive it and kind of burst through and win. So, there's some really, really interesting things there, definitely.
But back on your question, I mean, I've since the my wife and I, like you said, Shannon, that's why I also married her. She's a Survivor fan and we enjoy it. South Africa, Australia, and US, the works, we watch them all. Even though I've been taking a break off social media and just getting a little bit away from the screens, I've not missed Survivor. So nothing's happened to my fandom. But since the day they stepped onto the mat, both of us said there's something about this cast. It's sunny and it's popping. And even last season, I also enjoyed it with SA, but I felt, it's almost like you felt the heaviness of the cast. They're intense, you know, and they're strategic and they were intense. But compared last season with this season, it's almost like it felt more sunny. It's like we were back to season six. But even in one way, because we have developed as a almost like our field of Survivor fans since season six, it's including more of a colorful community, which now are super fans. And you see that with Santonis coming through and you know, many players coming through, which just pops on the screen. And so from the first day, I told my wife, this is going to be a good season. And I actually told LaRue as well. I said, there's something sunny about this bunch. And he said, no, he agrees. And we still wanted to chat about that. I haven't gotten to him yet, but so from the beginning, I've been enjoying it. I thought so. You can also see, I'd be happy to hear you guys, your perspectives. Also, I think Survivor South Africa from a production a team. They're really getting into their stride. Also, you can see them getting better. You can see them. You can see it's not their first season. Mm. And I like that, the way they bring the stories around. You know, the glorious moment where Jason says in episode one, "I'm going to win this show," and then he's out. You know, it's incredible. What can I say? You know, I'm giving you everything. Mm-hmm. as a player that likes to see. I like to see those genesis of relationships forming. It's very important to me. I don't know if I'm such a great fan of the show moving to an island, another island with one player. It's not Immunity Island. It's not been bad for me, but the highs and the lows. I mean, I don't want to see Santoni digging for sandbags on an island on her own. If I can see another first moment between two castaways, which will play out in the next three episodes. That's just me putting it on the table. But I also understand there's viewers, there's casual fans, and you need to keep the show interesting. I'm just living for those moments when characters click. I mean, I remember a conversation with Rainier and Amy, and I could just see it's happening. This is, it's the bonding, this conversation, it's generous. I could see they were picking up what each other was putting down, and I knew they were going to go together. I like those, you know. But Immunity Island's not been bad. I just think one should be careful to not move too far away from showing us those genesis moments where relationships forms and.
No, I completely agree when it comes from a storytelling perspective that, like, as much as advantages might weigh heavily on Modern Survivor, and especially this season when we got, you know, so much coming out in the first half of the pre-merge, it's all about the people at the end of the day. And that's why, you know, I'm happy that these past few rounds have been pure, that even though Chappie's technically went to Immunity Island, I was a little surprised when Ernest is like, "Oh, welcome to Immunity Island." And Chappie's was surprised. I was like, "Oh, right, I forgot Chappie's has never been to Immunity Island." So, of course, he has no idea where the hell he is. I'm happy that they, you know, sort of, that's between that and then the idols and advantages expiring at 6. We talked about this last week that, you know, while you may look at the voting chart and be like, "Oh, Kieran and Tyson were voted out," if there were idols being expiring at 5, it wouldn't have happened. I think, to your point, there's so much interesting interpersonal stuff going on that I'm totally fine being without advantages, and especially having a conduit to, like, concentrate on advantages and taking players away from camp through the finale. Now, again, that being said, we certainly have some overpowered stuff coming in over the course of this week, but I'm always keen to have the storytelling come back to the players and their relationships, because that bears out all the way to the end, when usually the reason why people vote for other people in the jury is because of the relationships they maintained.
I mean, my love for Immunity Island, or anything I enjoyed about it, was never in the competition aspect or the advantages. It was always in the strategic decision making. Like, of course, relationships number one, but strategic decisions for me are pretty much on par with watching all those dynamics play out. So the decisions of sending people to Immunity Island, and then, of course, whether they would stay or whether they would go, was a really, like, key decision for me that I enjoyed. But I think we do see through the purity of these late stages of International Survivor. I feel like I continue to repeat myself through these podcasts because of the parallels, but it really crystallized for me what we saw a few days ago and what we see now, which is I used to be way more on the fence about final threes, final twos, and that has developed to
Welcome to the dark side. Final twos are great.
Like, it's not well, because I have preferred final twos for probably the last couple of years, but, like, this crystallized it. The fact that Nico makes that one change, they thought it was a final three and it's not, and so much can change. That was such an active shift that just shows why these final four votes were so interesting, whether it is in Australia a few days ago, whether it is now, whether it's what you had, Verna. There was intrigue there, because when it's a final three and you're at a final four vote, which used to be, like, the only pure round in the US, then it's not that interesting. You're thinking of one decision. Who can I beat? You can be wrong, you can be right, but you're thinking about one criteria. Now, when it's a final two, there's so much to think about. Who can I beat in a challenge?
Yeah.
Who would take me if they want a challenge? What would the challenge be? Can I beat them at the end? There is so much. And you see that Chappie's decision becomes more complicated. It becomes one that we can discuss, whether he even should have, you know, kept Tyson around, whether he needed a change at all. But there's a part of this, whether he's not considering that it could be endurance and it calls great endurance. Like, there are now facets for us to discuss and for him to weigh up as he's making that decision. And that's why it changes here. So final twos have made these final four votes for yourself. And within the last week, just so interesting. And I'm very, very grateful for that.
I think, I don't want to rush ahead. You must just tell me when we are going to talk about what we think is going to happen forward, because I think this final two might change the arc drastically.
And in what way you think that Chappies might not win? Because I feel like I'm going into next week, I think Smash is winning the game.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. You know, I think about Christy, Survivor Australia winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about Nicole rising from the ashes. And I'm thinking of Natalie White coming out of nowhere. And I'm thinking if Nicole stands on that pole and she does not get off, I'm not sure. I mean, I can't see what everyone sees. If she can tell a story, you know, this little girl did not know a lot. I mean, she's the one that's in a challenge with Chappies while everyone else is eating. She's not given up. She's not made the wisest decision. But, you know, Survivor South Africa, right? I mean, in our final four, there was Werner and Annelies, which people thought, and just before that, Katinka could take it. But then the final two was Jean and Tom, and things swung around. So I'm just saying, don't discard Nicole. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I love this different perspective. I love that I'm coming in saying Smash, and you're saying Nicole, and I feel like both of those are really hot takes. We'll definitely discuss them.
Let me stick with the basic bitch opinion and say I think this is Chappies.
I love this. She makes a sort of bet.
Exactly. We each have a sort of a dog in this fight. But yeah, I listen to Shane, and you are preaching to the choir and then some. I've always loved final twos. Yes. You know, people might feel like, oh, it doesn't mean the best two players make it to the end. Sometimes it does.
Present company included, yeah.
But also, like, A, it's not about, you know, the destination. It's about the journey for me. And B, I completely agree that I think without a final two, I mean, think about it. All these 2-1-1 situations you're talking about, New Zealand, Thailand is an exception, right? Because someone essentially threw in the towel. That was a final three, but that was someone quitting in the round beforehand. And that's why they created a 2-1-1, was because she couldn't vote for herself. Otherwise, all those other situations were in final two seasons. And I think there's a correlation there. I think there's a causation of, because there is still more room to play, I think when it's the penultimate round, you're just about like getting over that line, right? Like there certainly are complicated decisions made, but I don't think people are like, ooh, let's really throw one more spanner into the works. Like the most complicated you get in a final four round going into a final three is, okay, maybe I force someone to make fire against somebody else. That's the most complicated it gets, because you're already thinking about day 39 if you're two out of those three people. For everyone who survives here, they still have one more day of play. And so I think it makes your brain not be, you know, retroactive. I think it still makes you be proactive. As we saw at this tribal council, where we can certainly talk about Chappie's decision here to very vocally and very visually flip in the moment. But I think it just shows in that moment. Again, he was being super complacent. He thought his final three spot was locked up. Anella on my left, Nicole on my right. He's sharing his stash with everybody. Kalu Kale, throw the parade in the streets. As soon as he finds out that spot in the finals is not guaranteed, he goes back into game mode. I think that's all you need to see as to why this round is so interesting in a final two versus a final three.
Yeah, because when they're going to make the easy decision, that is, not the easy decision, but the one criteria decision, which is who can I be, right? When you do it at a final four, it's like we're all kind of deciding together, like maybe we'll send someone to fire, but like it's more of a consensus, which is just not that interesting. Whereas, I mean, they could get it wrong, but again, it's like a couple of people making that decision. It's just less intriguing than the person at the final three making it, where if they make it wrong, they were like the one person. It's like this really binary thing. It's extreme. It's memorable. It's like the Woo thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the final three really interesting, the vote, and then it makes this final four so complex. And Werner, like, yeah, it was something you try to do. You try to pull off a 2-1-1. And definitely at the time, the fire making had like just come into play when you were playing. So there was a lot of, this is why we need it. If we had it, Werner would have won. He would have had fire making and then a final three. So I do feel bad like going on and on about how much we love final twos at a season with you when Modern Survivor would have won you a million rand. Sorry about that. But like, you know, you get pained by that. But then it was such an unpredictable outcome. So like as viewers, it just keeps it interesting to the very last moment. If this was a final three, this would have been a really chill, kind of boring episode. We don't have like a ton to talk about. And it was in the last few minutes that Nico was like, it's the final two. And it all started, and everything changes. And a lot of the decisions we're going to talk about in this podcast are in the last few minutes of it, because it just becomes that much more interesting of a decision.
Yeah.
Made the whole episode better. So I'm like very much on board.
Yeah, I understand. I know how. Look, when I said I think that Nicole can win, then that would be against Anela, right? I just want to clarify that because I don't think. I think Chappie has played the best between the bunch, right? When you are where Chappies are at final four, I think. I know how it feels because where he sits, he's running ahead of the pack, right? So you actually don't care so much who you sit against at the end. You're just looking for a way there. And that's all how I felt. I can look at the game. I must just find a way. That's the only way. But if you are not Chappies, you have other problems as well. You must find a way to get there, and you need to maybe knock someone off that can beat you, right? So Chappies, he immediately changed his decision, because the only thing he's thinking about is, I must just get to the end, and Tyson is easy to beat Danella. That's why he switched his vote, because if he can just get to the end, he can make a pitch. It's the only thing he wants, an opportunity to make his case. So, yeah. I know how it feels like. And then he got through, right? He got through that round, which I could not get through.
Right.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, we should talk about all these decisions. And I think we're half an hour into this podcast, but somehow I haven't brought like the important information. If you didn't skip ahead to the exit that is after this recap, let me break down for you. We got a lot of questions. Why did Tyson vote for Nicole? This is
what
not
the
a
hell
name.
Happened?
Yes.
Why?
I'm literally getting texts as we speak. Why did Tyson vote for Nicole? This was not a name we saw mentioned. So this is what he, I'm going to try do justice to the exit. It's also at the end of this podcast. Hope you guys stick around for that. But basically, so he brought up both names to Chappies. We only saw him talk about Smash, but he brought up both. He didn't trust him. Like Chappies said, okay, we'll go with Smash probably. He didn't trust that. And Chappies went back to Smash and said, like, oh, I told Tyson, but, like, I'm not going with it. Smash went back to Tyson and said, like, Chappies is lying to you. So he knows that Chappies is lying to him. He thinks, all right, I'm going to try vote for Nicole. I told Smash I'm going to vote for Nicole. I'm going to put trust in Smash, or at least put trust and hope in the fact that Smash is a flip-flopper. He just needs to flip one more time and he'll vote with me on Nicole. And I trust that more than I trust Chappie, someone who I've not worked with at all. Obviously, he has a good relationship with Smash, and he's putting his trust in that. So that's the vote for Nicole going into Tribal, which makes sense. The question is, why does he not change when it's changed to Tribal Council? So basically, Chappie comes to him and is like, I lied before, but now I'm with you. Let's vote for Smash.
That is such a Chappie's thing to say, by the way, where he just brazenly says, I lied to you. That's why these players are like so still unbelievably messy on day 37 of like, okay, listen, everything I said to you was a complete fabrication an hour ago. This time I'm telling the truth.
Yes. And Tyson doesn't trust that. And it's not strange to me that the two people who can't get on the same page, to both of their detriments, to the point where Tyson goes home and Chappie doesn't get what he wants, are Chappie and Tyson, when Tyson is saying, like, we don't have strategic conversations. Like, you were a lion. You played an idol on here. But they're so far apart. They've been fighting at Tribal. They could not get on the same page. He doesn't trust Chappie. And we can talk about whose fault that is. But, you know, he's going to end up voting himself out of the game. He doesn't trust that. He continues with his plan on Nicole. And there's another side to it that I just want to mention, that he didn't want to go up against Chappie and Nicole and what he thought could be endurance at the end. He said he was happy to fight it out against Chappie. I also mentioned, like, maybe Smash would take him to the end more than Nicole because they have that relationship, which is something I think is possible. But I think he was saying more that he didn't want to go up against Nicole and Chappie. He thought neither would take him to the end. He said he'd rather be there with Smash. Smash isn't as good as endurance. And he's been good at endurance in the past. He's definitely had some skill in that. So he wanted to go head to head against Chappie and hope to win out in that and then take Nicole to the end. So there was a physical element to that as well. So hearing that, Mike, I sent you the exit before. What is your take on this move?
Yeah, so there's so many things behind this. I adore the fact that, again, much like you, Werner, Tyson was trying to turn a different 2-1-1, this time not against him, right? Like, he thought what might happen, or what he hoped would happen, is that he and Anella would vote out Nicole.
Yes.
Chappies would vote for Anella and Nicole would vote for Tyson. And so
I do think that he didn't trust Chappies. Like, I think maybe, like, at best case scenario that happens, but I think he was thinking that Chappies would also vote for him and he would go to fire. But, you know, hopefully, I don't know if it was as considered as Werner's plan for the fake 2-1-1s working with Annalise against Tom, but really working with Tom against Annalise. But I think he thought that he would get himself hopefully fire, but went into Tribal Council kind of knowing it was done. You could see he was kind of defeated in that and like was taking it as a compliment and leaving. But I think he thought best case scenario that, you know, Smash flip-flops again and at least I get myself to fire by against Nicole.
Yeah. So the Nicole choice, I find interesting. I like more, I think the more sound reasoning from my perspective is the both Smash and Chappies would take him to the final two, which I would probably, I think I would, I don't know.
I don't think, no, it's not that Chappies would take him. Chappies would take Smash, but he felt, I think, that Nicole would take Chappies and Nicole's better at endurance. I don't know where Smash would fall. He didn't really mention it. It was more coming from me, but I think he felt that at least it would be just him head to head. Smash wouldn't really be a contender in an endurance challenge. And even if he somehow got it, possibly he takes him. I don't think he thinks Chappies is taking him, but he's happy to go head to head in that endurance challenge at the final three.
That's the other thing though, is that I think in hindsight, Tyson was right. We're going to see next week. It's hands on a hard idol, which is freaking fantastic. But we're looking at
Australia again, right?
Yeah,
exactly. This is the first ever immunity challenge. This is like Borneo. Yeah,
this is LaRue's love of Survivor shining through.
Excuse me.
Yeah, this happened in it's shown up in like three of the first four seasons and in All Stars as well. So like this is the OG. How badly do you want it? But if you're looking at past precedent, though, Werner, your final immunity challenge was Samotion. Last season, it was the infamous, Serene Memorial Challenge, hold the ball on the dowel. I wouldn't call those endurance challenges, necessarily.
The ball one kind of is.
Yeah, but I would not say it's endurance in the way that Tyson's probably thinking it is. Like, when I think endurance challenge, I think about hanging on to the poles. I think it's more so, like, mind over matter, like, you know, putting your physical strength to the limits. And so think, while Tyson was accurate in that read that I think Nicole honestly might be one of the favorites to win that challenge, I do think it was a bit more of a lucky guess, because I do think if you're looking at more challenges on the reg, like, for example, this past week's challenge, Nicole was once again way behind the pack. Anella nearly wins that challenge. I would imagine that usually the vast majority of the time I would count on Smash to win a challenge more than Nicole.
Yeah, I mean, Smash was good at that one challenge. I feel like the physical disparity between the three is not that great. But I feel like I understand the physical thing seemed to be like more of a secondary thing, but it was mostly that he is misreading that Chappies is actually going to vote for him and it's still just putting a little bit of hope in Smash. And I do think it comes back to this relationship of two people who've just never voted with each other. And it is bad on Tyson because he should spend time trying to see if it makes sense for Chappies. And it does make sense for the fact that Smash was just so close to it. Like, we'll talk through the reason, but there is some logic there. He seems really genuine in it, but again, he just can't trust that. And I put blame on both of them, honestly. Like, that relationship is so fractured that they both didn't get it over the line. They both suffer for it to different extremes. But, like, if Chappies needed that, like, he should have had more conversations. Like, did they talk more than that one conversation where Tyson basically dismisses him and then goes back to his seat? Or was Chappies just way more interested in, like, talking to Nicole about it? Like, I feel like it was on both of them to get this over the line, and they clearly didn't.
I wrote down in my notes, like, I couldn't understand from what I understand that at Tribal things move quickly and we can't see everything, every word. But from what we saw, I was just thinking, how can Tyson say after in his exit interview, or not an exit interview, his exit moment or whatever, his final words, he misread the situation when Chappies told him directly, listen, I'm on
a but Chappies told him directly. He has, like, no trust in Chappies.
I got you. But you have to trust that Chappies is in it for Chappies, you know, and it's you have to trust him when you think it's in his best interest. Like, Anella is coming closer to winning him in challenges, or at least from recent memory. So I just wrote down that it must have been that he, at some stage, either at camp or at Tribal, Anella told him, you know, I'll vote with you for Nicole. It must be that he held on to, because you can't just, like, write a name here out of nowhere. That doesn't make sense. And I don't think Tyson can be at day 37 and not know that. So him and Anella must have had a conversation, Anella.
Well, I don't like how much Smash was giving back, but Tyson said to me that he had told Smash, like, this is what I'm doing, in the hope that flip-flopper Smash would do it based on their connection, based on some other stuff. So he put even, I don't think he really believed it would happen. I think he does go into that tribal council defeated, but he put in some hope that that might happen. And that hope to him was greater than any trust he'd ever had in Chappies. But I do think as well, like, when you go in pretty much expecting it's done, there's like a mentality shift. And I feel like even at Jury Villa, he seemed a little bit dazed. It was a live environment, super, super live. Very quick moving, very unexpected that everything changed. I think he went in kind of expecting one thing, hoping for the best, expecting the worst, and then everything was changing, and it did require him to kind of be in the numbers. All right, but does this make sense for Chappies? Like, Nico, stop talking for a second. I'm trying to work out if self-interested Chappies really do this. Should I trust someone I've literally never trusted before? And I don't know that he was, like, in game mode at that moment, because I feel like he was like, I'm going in, I'm doing this thing, but I've probably been voted out. And I think that mentality shift becomes very difficult to backtrack on when you've, like, already accepted your fate.
Yeah, I just want to agree with that, because here's something that it is true for the game, at least. Even though I'm not saying that Tyson is still bitter towards Chappies, because there's been time and you don't have that opportunity to talk, but there's definitely such a thing as a game bitterness.
Yes.
Where in the game you're so mad at the person, you know, and it really gets to your heart, and so it's just so hard, you know, like when, like, someone hits you but now they want to comfort you, like, well, I'm not sure about this. So I mean, him and Chappies, if we just think back a few trouble, I mean, Chappies was broken at one stage. He says, listen, you're really disrespectful. You know, you must learn to respect. And then he says, I don't respect you. You know, and so there's definitely like a hardness toward one another, or at least from Tyson's side, because, I mean, Chappies is winning. Chappies riding the wave. So now the last moment, hey, let's work with me. It can be that he was just literally blinded with that bitterness. Like, I just cannot see myself trusting you, even if it's in your best interest. It just goes against my gut. Now, I'm reading into the situation. He can verify this himself. But I can see that happening in the game. And then later on, you think, you know what? I wish I could just see in that moment. But yeah.
No, I completely agree. I think what I love about the concluding arc of Tyson's character is that as much as he's preaching emotionless, 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 I completely think that he ends up getting undone by his emotions here. That because he felt a certain way about Chappies, and again, we can talk about Chappies meeting him halfway in that regard, when Chappies offers him this olive branch, Tyson says, like, because of a multitude of reasons, including the way I feel about you, I don't believe you. I'm going to vote another direction, and essentially votes himself out of the game, which I just think is incredible on behalf of his character. And I think also shows a life lesson for Survivor, which is it is incredibly hard to turn off your emotions to the point where I would think Tyson was in a bit of denial about the fact that he was emotionless, because I think that there were certainly emotions guiding his decisions and the way he was feeling about certain things. Now, look, it wasn't enough to block him from talking with Chappies. You know, he's like, I can't believe I'm actually walking up to Chappies and talking with him here. But I think when push came to shove and Chappies says, like, you know, vote with me, we'll make the final three together and then see what happens, I gotta think there's at least some percentage of the blocker in Tyson's head with him saying, like, you POS, which is what he calls Chappies in his Ponderosa of, I don't believe you. Why would I believe you? I'm going to go ahead with what I'm doing. And, you know, it's screw whatever your plan is. And, you know, Chappies, I know when he whispers to Tyson right on the way out, I gave you a chance. That could be, I think that's intended to be jury favoring, but to Tyson, it might not exactly come across that way.
I want to agree with that, because here's the thing. Tyson has been a proud player. Not in a bad sense. He's been in control. He's been in control, and he's not a beggar in the game. He does not beg. I mean, that's why that conversation with Chappies was so telling and was so hard for him. And I'm not meaning this as a good or a bad thing. It's just he's been in control because he's not bad socially. He's been in control. Now, suddenly, he's slipping down. And we saw the same thing with Renier. And I spoke on this on another podcast with Jacques. Like, it's one thing to be on top of a mountain. It's another thing when you slide down. Like, what do you do now? Now, it's you can almost get the situation of, I'd rather drown than take a life buoy from you and see people, observe people.
Ironic that you're talking that about with Chappies, who saves people from drowning.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather die of hunger than accept money from you. That type of thing, it can get to that point where you just like, listen, I'm not taking anything from you. I'd rather go home. I'm not saying he thought that through in his cerebrally. I'm just saying it's almost like I can see that from the outside.
I don't agree with that, because I feel like if that were true, we wouldn't have ever seen a conversation between them. I just think it was the wrong read. I don't see it as emotion. I think that he's going to him in that moment, and if Chappies offers him an olive branch, like, he would have taken it. But Chappies does, and then he hears it's a lie. And then when Chappies comes back to him, he tells him that he lied to him before. Now, if he takes a second to try and read it, he might think, well, what reason would Chappies have to re-lie to me again as he sends me to the jury? But then there's probably a part of him that's thinking, like, why did he lie to me earlier today? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that it's just really hard to read it in the moment when it is so live, and when he lied to you an hour ago. If you can take a second without everyone talking to think about, maybe from his perspective, what a final three looks like now that would be beneficial to him if he's trying to go to a final two, why he would make that decision, what gain he would have in lying to you if that's what it's happening, then I think that he maybe could have tried to ascertain what was going on. I just think it's really hard in the moment when all you know is that Chappies has been lying to you and Smash has been truthful with you. And that's what I think was a really good move from Smash. Like, he basically saves himself here, I think, by A, having that relationship with Tyson in the beginning, B, apparently going, telling Tyson the truth, throwing Chappies under the bus earlier that day. And it puts enough trust in that relationship that Tyson would rather go with that than things that possibly make sense to Chappies and things that don't make a lot of sense with Smash. So that's that relationship. And I have to give a lot of credit to Smash for that.
I would have really loved to see the whispering going on, because I got to imagine that it wasn't Chappie's holding court doing a receiving line where he talks with Tyson and then he talks with Nicole. I'd have to imagine that.
So polite, these South Africans and their live tribals. No chaos at all. Very easy to follow subtitles. It was great.
Yeah, Chappie's was the boss of, like, come into my office for a second. And by office, I mean 6 feet to my right, please. He actually got up this time when he was supposed to. But I would imagine that Anella and Tyson do a little bit of a check-in, right? Where, like, Tyson has to turn to Anella at some point and say, we're still good. And you brought this up before, Shannon, whether or not he actually agrees to do it. But I'd have to imagine they're having some sort of little whisper, you know, sidebar, right? Yeah. They're not just sitting there in complete silence saying, all right, well, we're just going to go forward with the plan and not talk about it.
I don't know. I mean, the main person we saw was obviously Chappie's and Nicole. Like, I thought that this tribal council from Nicole was, like, my favorite strategic move that she's made so far. Like, I thought she was great. I thought that the way she tried to convince Chappie's to not vote out Smash by saying, like, they're on par physically, by bringing up endurance, by bringing up final tribal council, like, they were all very logical points. We can talk through Chappie's decision because there's some logic there that I kind of do agree with. And then once he shifts and he's like, Smash, she just, like, placates him, she lies to him and goes in with her two solid votes. And I like that, because I think if she just spends more time trying to convince him, then he probably has more conversations and he maybe does really lock it in with Tyson, but she placates him and he doesn't have the conversations he needs to get it over the line. So I feel she outplays him there. And now he goes in, he votes incorrectly, which doesn't look great. The jury at Jury Villa seem to mostly be blaming Tyson, but, you know, it looks like a strategic misstep. He also votes out Warda, which we'll talk about, by saying, if I sit next to Tyson and Tyson is going home. So it just looks like he gets outplayed strategically there. And that's, like, a win for Smash and Nicole, I think, in the way that they placated him, the way that Smash worked with Tyson. And in that combination, they get it done. The Australian example a few days ago, I think, was more actively positive of people manipulating others to do something really positive. I do believe this was led by Tyson and Chappie's making mistakes and doing the wrong thing, with Zumba definitely guiding that in ways, but not as actively positive and manipulative. But they do get it done, and it is their two votes that went out here. So definitely a lot of praise for me going to Nicole and Smash.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Jeff Pittman brought this up on Twitter. I would not say, while the numbers are obviously comparable, I actually don't think the situations are. Without going into too many details, the Australian one had someone turning a 3-1 against them into a 2-1-1. By pitting two people against each other. This case, I think, was more so like almost averting a 2-2. It was basically like, okay, turning from a 2-2 into a 2-1-1 just due to a lot of confusion going on. It really could have feasibly been a 2-2, again, had Chappie's and Tyson gone onto the same page.
Yeah, more unforced errors, I would feel, than like actively switching people into like taking votes away from you, I would say.
Right. More defensive than offensive.
Yes, yeah. So it's really interesting. I mean, Verna, what have you thought about these Zumbas? Smash and Nicole, they're much further down on the Chizzy rankings than Tyson and Chappie's, who they outvote here. But were you as impressed with them as I was?
I was. I mean, I'm kind of impressed. I like the underdog story of Nicole, because she's tiny. She's the only girl left. She's not done everything right, but she hasn't been falling around in the game. You know, she's been staying her cool. She's been pushing forward. And I appreciate that she's been giving, you know, she's been getting into the water and challenges when everyone else is eating. You can almost see her crying. I like that about her. I like that she fights and she does her best. I actually like the way Anela moves from side to side. I mean, him and Santoni, they're like the survivor couple of swinging up and down.
The swingers, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him a couple of keys, that's Smash and Santoni.
And I've liked that, but I don't think it's good for his resume, actually, because he's been falling around too much, especially that day with Kieran, just bringing out, I was going to vote you out. I mean, it just shows a little bit of...
But Chappie's did that in this episode to Tyson. We just didn't see it. So maybe that's just there's something on the beach where people are like, I took this truth serum. I was lying before, but I'm not now.
Yeah, well, we're not saying that the Chappie's are flawless in that in that sense.
Two of the final three have done that move.
But I think, I mean, what I like about
although I have to say, like, at least for Chappie's, there was like a clear instigator of why he might want to change his strategy. With that, it felt more that he was doing that to himself. So we do have to qualify that for sure.
I like how they are fighting. That's the thing. And they're each fighting in different ways. Nicole have made up her mind and she's going forward. Anela has been moving a little bit to the left, to the right, but they've been pushing forward. They've been going. They're trying to win challenges. They're trying to push the vote in their favor. And I appreciate that. They're definitely not goats. What I do want to say about Chappies, if I may, you know, for me, there's a lot of similarities. I don't know, you guys might laugh now, between Chappies and Tom. Tom that played with me.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is a little bit older, okay? And he's not, but Tom is not an unfit person or unsporty. He's quite good, but Chappies is on another level there. But the both of them, they play with their hearts on their sleeves and they play flat out. Both of them, they speak their mind. Both of them, they don't hold back.
Both of them make people cringe when they eat.
Yep, yep.
Different ways.
Cringe in different ways, and that's why I won't mind seeing Chappies at the end if he's the winner, because I know what it is, what it feels like to see someone playing their heart out, because I saw Tom play like that, and you're not voting for them because they played a polished game. In one sense, you're playing because, in a sense, you can relate with how hard they are going and how hard they are trying, even taking into account their mistakes. This Chappies, he never gives up. He never, even though if he has to quote himself, his own Chappies one-liners, whatever is needed, then he goes again, you know? And I think as a jury, sometimes you recognize that. And that's why I think, I don't know, because I was on the jury at the end, I thought that maybe Jean's game,
there, mm-hmm.
a little nudge there. I thought that maybe Jean's game was a little bit more cerebral, a little bit more systematic. Tom was more all over the place, but the one thing everyone could say about Tom is he played with his heart on his sleeve and he never gave up, ever.
Mm.
And that's why I see similarities there between him and Tom.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting looking at this final three. And this is why I love, you know, Survivor South Africa, even Australian Survivor as well, with like just the messiness with which these people play. Because our final three is Anela, who, again, commits one of the worst moves I've seen in Survivor history several episodes back by planning someone's blindside, going back in it and telling that person that you were going to blindside them. You have Chappies, who honestly, like, had he not won immunity, probably would have been voted out several rounds back by now and has been adamantly hoarding and stealing food. And Nicole, who, you know, has been coming on as of late, but let's remember, in this incredibly important Tide Destinies vote, takes her entire alliance.
Water park, on it's a really reward. Hard to get past the water park.
Yeah, that's why I love...
That's very bad.
Yeah, that's why I love, you know, this particular cast and group of people, is that, like, it's just so messy, so all over the place. And that's why I think that, as we're going to get into prognosticating jury votes later, like, there might be some open and shut cases, but I think, to your point, Werner, there are positives and negatives to everyone's game. I mean, if we're going back to the sort of Zomba duo momentum thing going on, first off, what Nicole vocalizes in this episode, obviously, I completely agree with. I talked about this last week, right, Shannon, when you asked, you know, even if Chappies had lost immunity, would you vote him out? I said no, because to me, an extra vote is more powerful at this stage of the game than an immunity necklace. Nicole vocalizes just that, right? Like, we are two now. We essentially are the ones that hold the power.
They literally do.
Yeah. And that ends up bearing out. But it is noteworthy to see that, starting with the Anesu vote, you know, Nicole was obviously out of the picture with the whole, like, 3-2-1 chaos at the final six. But these two have sort of been not in control, but in very pivotal points, right? They were the ones that swung over to the trio during the Anesu vote. They were left out of the Warda vote, but that allowed them to sort of then take out the Kieran Tyson duo. Like, that's incredibly important for their narratives. This was vocalized in this episode, too, that they had their entire alliance wiped out at the beginning of the pre-merge, and then they come on really strong at the end. Like, that's the narrative of some winners we've seen in the past. And so I do think that maybe while Chappies has probably the strongest chance at the moment if he sits in the final two, these two aren't necessarily slouches from a story perspective either.
My problem is here. Here's my thing. If Nicole sits next to Anela, Anela stands up in this last episode that we are discussing, and he says, I've got this great resume, social, strategic, I've been really amazing. Now I just maybe need to win a physical challenge. Whereas socially, other people have not seen his game or strategic as sound as maybe he's seeing it. They call him a flip-flopper, not in a sense of moving strategically, but as being unsure of what he wants to do. Now, if he goes to the final, in a final tribal council and says, as you guys know, I've got such a great social and strategic game, you know, so vote for me, then there's a miss, you know, he's misreading himself. Whereas if Nicole goes and she says, listen, I've really messed up on a few occasions, especially the day at the water park. I don't know what I was doing. I was learning Survivor as I was playing, but you guys knew I never gave up. You know, I took Chappies on that water challenge while everyone ate, never gave up all the way to the end. Bearing in mind my mistakes, you vote for me because I'm the player that learned as I was going. I could see her taking out Anela.
I mean, I don't see it. I feel like, I don't know that Nicole's read on her game is that much better than Smash's. Definitely a lot of eyebrows raised on Smash saying, like, I've played this phenomenal game. I just kind of need to, like, fill out the rest of the criteria. Eyebrows raised. Nicole says one of the most baffling confessions of the episode for me, where she's like, I hope it's a final three. And it's like, well, how badly are you misreading the situation? Because the only shot in hell that you have of winning this is going to the end with Smash and trying to get some relationship votes and hoping that he was so much of a goat through his moves. If you want it to be a final three, what are you misreading here about the jury, about your competitors, the structure of this? And I worry that maybe she hasn't had as bombastic confessionals, but that her read might be just as bad. And for them going through this end game, it has been messy. Like, they haven't been just dominating as these swing votes. It comes down to the conversation they were having at Jury Villa last week, which is, have they just kind of been relying on the fact that they're seen as so unthreatening compared to these other Vuna members that they do have control? It's like, yeah, well done, you have control, but also it's because you're more goats in the game. That can work out when it's just the two of you at the end, but there's a reason why you have control, or do they have agency in that? And I think, you know, I come down on the former with some of the messy ways that this has gone. So especially through that, the Santini vote, like, technically, like, she played an advantage. How fun is that? And, like, he really decided it, but, like, the journey to get there is eyebrow raising at best. And I think that's what, when you say, like, Tom and Chappies, when you compare that, it's actually a similar thing that I think of what the difference is. And that is, I feel like Chappie is much more in on the joke. I feel like he has more agency in that. And when we had his interview, it's like, who is this guy, you know, in the preseason? But then on Twitter, he was laughing about it. And I was like, oh, this guy gets it. Like, this is a normal human who's just larger than life. And I don't know as much that someone like Tom is as in on the joke. And for me, there are parallels there for, like, I think Chappie gets himself. I think he knows himself. I think there's a self-awareness there where he could stand up at a final tribal council and talk about his game, the pros, the cons, what works, especially talking to Vanessa about it. I don't know that Smash and Nicole, obviously if they're against each other, there'll be no choice, but I don't know that either of them have as great a sense of self and awareness of the game based on little things that they've said as someone like Chappies could have. And I do think it would be two people battling out through some delusion if it was going to be that final two.
I agree with you. They're not beating Chappies. You know what, when Nicole said, oh, I wish this is the final three. I agree with that. That's,
you were like, what?
She's misjudging
Like, pray for final two, Nicole. Get on your knees.
You know what that is? That's a person that has come to the end of her fight when it comes to tribal councils. The tension and the stress of seeing the field getting narrower and having to fight harder. At one stage, you're just like, oh, you know, I don't know if I've got a lot left, which is sad because I hope that she can put up a good fight in this challenge. But that's what I thought. I mean, yeah, this girl, she's had it with tribal councils.
Let me throw out a bad move to end all bad moves in an end game that has been plagued with it. I don't know. Maybe this is me being Doctor Strange in Avengers Endgame, but, like, I see the one scenario where Nicole wins and takes Chappies. I think it's a,
oh my gosh,
it's a huge misread, but I could see her being like, if it's me and Anella,
he stole food.
You know, I could be guaranteed all the Zomba votes if I go to the end with Avuna, as opposed to like if I go with Smash. Chappies has pissed off Kieran and Tyson. Warda might not be there. So like she might feel like Chappies is only guaranteed Santini and Inesu. And so maybe she, there's a world where she believes that Chappies actually has a lesser opportunity to take votes away from her than someone like Anella, where they have been playing so closely together, with the exception of that Santini vote. You know, you could argue that maybe he has some tighter, he's obviously tighter with Sean, he's tighter with Rainier. There's a chance that he could get those Zomba votes above her. So yeah, I it would be the worst move by far. But
and how interesting though. How great a final two.
Yeah, but I for some reason I could see it in my mind's eye that, again, you know, Chappies ends up getting undone here by that one more challenge. He doesn't break the record. Nicole wins. Again, I think it's a challenge that could easily be in her favor. She is sort of the endurance queen from that perspective. But for some strange reason, either from Chappies convincing her or her looking at the jury and looking at what Smash has done lately, she's like, I can't take him to the end. Let me vote him out. And somehow she takes Chappies to the final two.
Which is funny because it's a similar conversation as we were having of what someone could do in Australian Survivor. Guys, look, I don't go outside. I'm in lockdown. My entire life is these two seasons of the show. And when they do the same thing in the same week, it's very strange. And it makes me think that, like, the Illuminati is doing all of it. So that's where I'm at with this. But I think, like, Chappies is going in, I think, as a lot of people's winner pick into the finale. But we'll talk about our different perspectives on that. Not a great episode for Chappies. I mean, yeah. He becomes the fourth person ever to be immune at the final four and voted correctly. A week ago, there were two people. It's just crazy. It's breaking my brain. But yeah, they just doubled this week. And he votes incorrectly, but he's also making good decisions. I think, like, he had to do a lot in this episode because he won so many things that required so much strategy. Some goes well, some doesn't. Verna, what did you think about Chappies in this final four vote? Because the jury are blaming Tyson that he voted incorrectly. I'm putting some of the blame on Chappies personally.
You know, Chappies is at a place where he said it multiple times. His plan A is winning the challenges all the way to the end, right? Which is an interesting thing to say, right, as a Survivor player. But in one way, it's not a bad read, because he had to do it and he's doing it. So kudos on him for that. But Chappies is not, he's not worried about building relationships right now. He's not worried about voting too accurately. The only thing he's worried about is getting a necklace around his neck. So for him, I don't think it's the end of the world doing a misvote. I just think that's where he's at the end. He's playing like really an individual game, because, I mean, for a few votes now, if he's lost, they would have sent him home because, you know, he's a front runner. So I think he allows himself to be a little bit more of a cowboy. Let's try this at tribal. Let's try this at tribal. Let's make food in the middle of the night. You don't like me in any case. Yeah. Why not? You know? And also, if you, by the way, I just wrote it down here. Once you are used to getting something to eat in the night, your stomach will wake you up to go and make that food. You know, it's, I mean, but he doesn't care. He's already on the outside. So he's playing like a man with nothing to lose. And I think that's why a lot of people are, in a way, falling in love with Chappies of the last few episodes. He's a free player. He just does what he wants to do. He eats what he wants to eat. He hides his food. He does what he wants to tribal council. And then he goes and wins the challenge.
it's so interesting because, for lack of a better term, he has diplomatic immunity. He can do whatever.
How dare you bring it back?
I know. I'm so sorry that we can't call it a mutiny, but like that is literally what he has, right? Like he is protected. And so he says, I can do whatever I want because you can't vote me out. And it is so intriguing to me. What it really reminds me of is, I know we've been making so many comparisons of like, okay, Chappies is the combination Tony and Tyson. But I think there is so much Rick Devens in the form of Chappies, where it's like, listen, I'll do what I want. I'll make a show at tribal council. Like, I can do all these things because you can't get rid of me. I am protected. And look, I'm going to try to make moves. I'm not going to be like a Fabio and just sort of sit back and you know, let people vote with me or maybe not. I am going to try to actively make moves to help my situation in the game. But I really do feel like I completely agree with Werner that it's so interesting to hear him be so brazen. But at the same time, he can be. It's a game of duplicity, and he's still trying to be duplicitous. That's why that whole lying to Tyson thing happened. But he has been so protected, it's really interesting to see his behaviors. Because he can essentially say, like, yeah, I'll do these things, I'll work with you, I'll vote out this person, because it can't bounce back on me whatsoever, because I'm protected. To see someone play with immunity in that way, we've seen smidges of it in someone like Mike Holloway, who still is doing things while being immune at the same time, but it's such unique gameplay. As much as Tyson was really espousing himself right in his post-game stuff as like, I'm the most unique player this season, I've innovated so much of this gameplay, I don't know, man, I think I gotta give that title to Chappies, because what he is doing in so many ways is unlike any player I've ever seen before.
But I do think that it's more complicated than that. Like, I think he has stuff to lose. It's just very, very, very small stuff. Something that I said a couple of days ago about people who are winning a lot or being very immune towards the end is like, all right, all you need to do is win out, advance yourself in waves by eating a lot of food, maybe win out to the end and then win at a jury vote. But it's not just that, because there are ways that you can make that path easier. And I think that he lets that go here. It might be in a really small way, but I do think that taking Tyson to a final three when you know it's going to be a final two is a better road for him. At first, I was like, I don't know, because I don't know that Smash and Tyson have an extreme physical disparity. We don't know what the challenge is going to be. For me, I think that's overblown, and I think it's recency bias based on Smash's most recent performance. But I was like, just on challenge strength, I don't know that it was worth switching it here at Tribal Council, but I appreciate that he's thinking about it, and that's obviously what Nicole says to him at the Tribal Council. I think there's extreme logic there. But I don't know if he's thinking about it like this, but I do think if he takes Tyson, we're talking about will Nicole take Chappies or Smash. I lean definitely to Smash. I guess it's a small possibility Chappies, but I think if Tyson is there, Nicole is taking Chappies to the final two. So I think that if he can get Tyson through to the final three, he can win and he can take Nicole. Tyson wins, that's game over. But Nicole wins, and if it is Endurance, she's a great bet, and I think she'll take you. So I think that is a much better final three for him. And I think if he can get the strategy over the line, even though yes, he's untouchable, he's immune, if he can get that strategy over the line, it is a better path for him at the final three. And he does miss that, and it's his objective. I don't know if he's thinking about it for the same reasons I am, but I think it is a better final three. I think it's his objective, and I think he fails in that objective. And if he can win out, he achieves it. But I think it's a more difficult road now to get to the end.
Yeah. Listen, are the only one, well, you guys spoke, must have spoke about the night, the crazy night at Tribal, but also the whole thing with Chappies says, oh, you must just go out and catch your food. And everyone's mad at Chappies for eating his food alone. You can get into trouble for that. And I'm sure some of the viewers are not happy with that. But then Kieran says, I know nutrition and I know what nutrition is all about. And I can tell you now, if you run off the crabs, you expend more energy than what you will get once you eat them. But now they want Chappies to run off the crabs, expend all the energy, and then bring the crabs to them so that they do not have to expend the energy of running but eat it. So when he said that, I thought, you know what, Chappies, eat those food alone.
Yeah,
enjoy it then.
We got some interesting perspective from Chappies at the beginning of the episode, right? When he becomes a literal coconut bandit, he's singing Flight of the Valkyries of like, you know, it's interesting to hear his perspective coming from his job, right? Like, out of all this, we should remember Chappies is a quote-unquote transformation coach. He is someone who motivates as a career. And so I do think it's totally vibes with his worldview, this idea of like, you don't know what you're capable of until you put yourself to the test, right? He says, what people don't understand about the game of Survivor is that everything starts with you as an individual. And he spoke about this last episode with Kieran, where Kieran's like, listen, from a pure numbers perspective, you are expending more than you are taking in. And Chappies is like, no, that doesn't matter. It's more about, you know.
Yeah, it's pumping him up.
Yeah, it's like it's you motivating yourself. Though I wouldn't say I'm team Kieran, but I would say Kieran, I think, has a point after we watch Chappies to no one in particular play football with himself with coconuts down the beach. Like, No, stop doing that. Stop wasting energy.
But he hasn't, because he's pumped up on the energy of doing the wrong thing. Like, it's fun and playful, and that's what we've spoken about. A preseason, Mike, and tell us that, like, we'll come here in week 15 and we're going to say, okay, so this is a player who's been stealing food, and we've praised him for it because it works for his plan A, because at that point he did get caught out. He shouldn't have stolen food in the first, I think, in the first place. I don't know if the Jews would work for food. Like, I don't know that he should have ever stolen food, or at least he shouldn't have been caught stealing food. But once he gets caught, it's like he's in for a penny, in for a pound. He keeps stealing and stealing. Like I've said, you might as well add to it. It is helping you in the challenges. It's definitely giving you like this fun little task. Even when he comes back and he gives him the food, Nicole's like, chappies, chappies, chappies. I'm like, it's been so normalized now that like Tyson can say what he wants. Smash can make comments. But at this point, like, it's done. But then let's go preseason and say the thing I might criticize most of what he did, other than voting incorrectly and, you know, all the vote stuff, but like in the actual episode, is that he misreads this final three, thinks he's at the end, and comes and shares his food, which is usually great. Like, it's so shame. And that's like the worst move that he made on the beach, because it's like that. I think I could see that being the story. Chappie thinks he's won. He assumed it was a final three. That's why I'm coming and saying I think it's smashed. I think the rug is getting pulled from under him. And we can look back at the moment of like, you gave up your edge. You was all about pushing yourself forward, stealing food, giving yourself every little drop, and you gave it up for 1 second. You shared your food, and now, like, Nicole wins or something, and now Smash is going to win the game. I think we could look back at that misstep, that sharing food in the social game was his, like, fatal flaw.
Well, but what are the chances, though? Again, let me point out the small possibility. Could Chappies go back from Tribal Council, grab all the coconuts, grab all the sugar cane, and run away with it?
Yeah, the guy starts taking all the coconuts as they fall out of his arms, running, burying them somewhere, and then it ends with Nick Hosegg, the winner of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island.
Like, I would not. I honestly think, again, if he's more so counting on, like, listen, I need to give myself the best possible chance of winning a challenge, could Chappies invoke Takesy Backsies and say, all right, I'm going to need that stuff back, please. I will also say, interesting to me about, like, the foraging aspect. I mean, Werner, you know the Wild Coast better than all of us. Are coconuts and sugar cane native to that? I find it so interesting that it hasn't popped up until, like, day 30-something.
We got questions about this, like, why is there... Tyson says in Jury Villa, which they left in, kudos to production, but he says, after last Tribal Council, we complained so much about the food, they placed a bunch of coconuts and sugar cane, and Chappies woke up and stole them all. So...
I love that production's like, we're gonna help you out. It'd be like, you know, in a Survivor season, right, where they're like, all right, you know, your shelter really sucks right now, so we're giving you a new shelter, and someone like somehow takes the shelter and moves it out to the middle of the jungle and lives there by themselves.
They complained about the food to the point where production felt they needed to step in, and Chappie stole all of it, and he stole his side to come out winning next week. If he does take these backsies, that will be the best. That would be. Yeah. I mean, look, it could definitely.
Look, I need to say this. So when we arrived on our island, we didn't realize it. So the islands in the Philippines, that they are their property, right? It's land. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People own them. It's just weird to think that there's water in between. And you cannot just go and chop down every tree on another person's property. It does not work like that. And so I think, I don't know, no one spoke about it or said it, but I think what production did is that helped just by dumping stuff that's in any case there, like bamboo and stuff on the island, so that you can pick these pieces up and not like break down the whole property.
Right.
But then the Wild Coast is different. It's not an island, right? It's just a big, it's a piece of a continent. But then we didn't know there was these pieces dropped. So we like cut off all the trees, and some of the parts like really was bad, until later on, as we walked and covered the whole island, we found these nice pieces of bamboo that was intended to discover and use for shelter. But we already had a terrible shelter. In any case, I mean, production is not, they're not, entering the game. I mean, these are practical things. We need to
understand. Oh, I don't care that they, like, throw a few coconuts to them.
You're playing on people's land, you know. There's no unconquered properties here in the world where you can just go. And there's rules. And sometimes the people say you cannot chop down trees. Or you may, you know. And then, anyways, I think it's just a part of a game.
I just can't believe production gave them a handout. And Chappie stole their paychecks. He took their stimulus checks and he ran away with them.
Yeah, Brush should be like, that is not what we intended, but, like, okay, I guess. Like, early bird catches the worm, which we've heard about quite a lot in this episode, because, yeah, it's definitely become, like, if you don't forage for your own food, you're just, like, a lazy person. I'm like, this is a social game. We share with each other. Like, we help each other. I can't believe that even Nico, like, as we said last week, like, editorializing, the narrative is very much, like, that's why I think it's going one of two ways. Either it's, like, Chappie's won because he stole, or he loses because he shared. That's the way that, that's what I think. He lost the challenge because he stupidly shared and didn't get back in time for take these back season. Now we get, like, a smash win. So I see it going in either way, but I have to broach it. We have to talk about it. I'm so sorry, Verna. As I said, you didn't seem to really care when you got removed from the jury, but we need to talk about all the jury stuff that was happening in this episode, Mike. That pain sigh makes me feel like you didn't like it. What did you think of this twist? Like, in one challenge, he gets immunity. He gets a future life meal. Nothing better than that. He gets to talk to a juror of his choice, and he gets to remove a jury. So deconstruct the pain sigh, I would say.
Right. So I think we can all agree, no matter what, the reward was too overpowered. This is the biggest reward I think I may have ever seen in Survivor, where he essentially gets three things. He gets more food in the form of future life. He gets, well, I guess, yeah, if immunity counts as a reward in that regard.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One challenge.
Gets, you know, introspection in with a juror, which you can certainly talk about. But listen, I'll make the point that I made, Werner, with you 3 years ago. I still don't like the juror removal twist, to the point where, if we're peeking behind the curtain here, Shannon can attest to this, when LaRue talked through the season with us,
I don't remember this at all.
I
didn't know this was coming.
I really tried stumping for not having a juror removal twist.
Did you?
I came up with an idea that, granted, might have been a bit too complicated. I came up with something as an amendment to it, but I got overruled, and so the juror removal twist had to happen, because I just don't like the idea of, I feel like when you made the jury, like, you should be able to still vote. Like, you've made it this far.
Why?
Here's your reward. Because I don't know, maybe I'm a bit of a purist in that
regard.
Like,
even Vernon doesn't care. And he's one of the very few people on this earth that it's happened to. I don't know. I have, like, no care about that. I feel like no one's entitled to anything.
I don't know. I just feel like it just feels weird to me of, like, okay, you think you're granted this ability and now we're taking it away. You know, maybe if it had been set up from the beginning of, oh, there's a chance that a juror might be removed, then that might happen. But otherwise,
it happened 2 seasons ago. It's something that happens in Survivor. It's something that could conceivably happen. And I guess the first time it's like, okay, but now it's a part of definitely Survivor South Africa and a part of Survivor in general. Like, it's something that can happen.
I don't know. I just feel like the jurors shouldn't have to play, like, a quote game within a game, for lack of a better term, of, like, well, you're voted out, but there's still a chance your vote might be removed. I sort of like the permanence of, okay, you're voted out, you're joining the jury, you're going to watch tribal councils, you're going to vote for someone at the end. I think when you complicate things by adding in, oh, but there's a chance you might not vote in the end. Now, that being said, I like where this was placed, because it's not guaranteed, okay, Chappie's votes someone out and then he automatically goes to the final tribal council. There is still some ability there. I liked where it was placed in Survivor's Australian Survivor 2017 as an example of, like, Jericho makes this vote out of Tessa, but there's still a chance he doesn't make it to the end.
More complexity to the decision, yeah.
Exactly. It's not like what would happen with Jean or what happened with Michelle, where it was, okay, you're voting someone out the night before the final tribal council. The decision might still reflect there, but there still is, like, more time, more risk associated with that decision. But it's one of these twists that I'm never going to fully get on board with, just because I think, for lack of a better term, I still find the idea of, like, the jury position sacred, And that it shouldn't necessarily be tampered with. We can certainly talk about that in the form of dining with a juror, but that's my own axe to grind. I can understand if I'm in the minority here.
I'd like to weigh in there. Like, I am definitely more of a survivor purist, and so I hear what you're saying. But if you put out all of the different advantages we've seen, this is not the worst one for me, even though I don't like it. Like, as a player, I want to see good players excel and play a good game, right? Now, what I don't like is when you let me just use a rugby analogy. When you kick the ball for the post, but then the post gets shifts after the kick. Oh, it's not there, it's there. Then it's almost like the players can, in one moment, start to look like pawns that's being shifted by production. A reshuffle. I don't like that. I'm not saying it's happening all the time. But let's say, for example, you're going to draw a rock and then you're going to be tied to the destiny of another person. That's for me is a big thing. I don't like that because I'm going to stick my hand in a bag and then a rock is going to tie me to another person. If they get voted up, I'm out. Now, it might be fun to watch, but it's not fun as a player. And I don't like that if I should see myself there. Now, I'm not saying I'm the greatest fan of the jury remover, but there's some strategy in that at least. So he needs to sit down, he needs to decide, he needs to contemplate who did I wrong, and then he needs to guess, can this person get over past offenses? And then he needs to make a vote. So I see at least the strategy in that. We see Chappies making a move. Jean made the wrong move by voting me off.
Yeah.
All right. So we do see strategy. I want to get away from random things falling on the players.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Put your hand in this bag. You know, I know one. They go to Immunity Island after every challenge, right? Okay, so they're starting to understand how the field works. They get to one challenge, and Nico says there'll be no Immunity Island. Now, at least they hear that before the challenge, so that helps. But yeah, I think that I got more reservations about generally like feeding many things onto the playing fields, if you know what I'm saying. And I think it's an art to get it right because you need to put things in there, and the timing of it needs to be right. But I think once survivors all over the world start, once the producers or production feels the need to become a player, I don't like that so much. I'm not saying it's the case here. I'm just saying we've seen some weird stuff. We see George can take a whole half of a tribe away from tribal council, gone. Right, so that's never been done. I'm just still digesting it.
Well, that's why I probably like jury removal. I mean, if it's necessary, if we need to fix up the jury numbers, if an Australian survivor, we need a non-elimination, I've always said go for the jury removal because at this point it is ingrained in the culture. It's something that definitely can happen. It's something that you can expect. I don't believe, like, you're saying game within a game, but, like, they get voted off the jury as, I think maybe your perspective, Verna, really changed my mind on it when you were like, I got voted out, I didn't care. Like, you get voted out of the jury, like, go home. It's fine. You're already out of the game. Like, the most painful thing has already happened. And I do think what I like about it and why I would say that it should be a non-elim in Australian Survivor is, like, it still has strategic intrigue for me. Like, there is still that strategic decision, and that is an interesting twist for me. Like, we can talk about Chappies takes out Warda. Was that the right choice? He says in his voting confessional he's taking out Warda in case he sits next to Tyson. He's not going to achieve his objective of keeping Tyson. And even if he did, in what world would he ever sit next to Tyson? So that's a strategic misstep. That's a decision that we can analyze. I enjoy that. I don't think that this is something that breaks the game in any way. And we definitely got suggestions of, like, juror nullifier. So, like, that you, instead of removing a juror so that they can still be there, again, I don't feel like they're entitled to being in final tribal council. And I think with something like a nullifier, that would, like, neuter the whole tribal council for me, where if you nullify a jury vote at the end, if they know that that's going to happen, no one at tribal council is bringing the fireworks. And if they don't know, then every final tribal council should be very, very scared that it's something that could happen to them in the future. Now that we've set a precedent where after you speak, someone can nullify the vote. Now, we also, Rob's fact checker suggested, do it now. he votes Wyatt, and now she doesn't know, she stays with everyone, but at the end her vote will be nullified. And I just think, why?
I don't like that idea of like, hey, we're gonna write someone's name down, and then by the end we'll see if you know they were correct in that regard.
Yeah, like the only reason you do that is because you feel like Wyatt is entitled to be there, and like she as a person deserves it, not from a production standpoint, not from a player standpoint, just because like you don't want to hurt her feelings or Verna's feelings or Tessa's feelings. And I'm just like, like you know, like leave the jury. It's to me like it's just not such a big deal.
Should I throw out my stupid twist idea that I suggested just to get people's thoughts on it and see how I was probably wrong about it?
I have no memory of that, so I'd love to hear what it was.
So my thought was not a juror removal, but an extra vote, like a vote in your favor. And my idea was that on day 39, the final two would do like a fallen comrade style quiz where they would answer questions about the jury. Because I figured from that perspective, like, hey, if you know the jury best, then you probably deserve a vote in your favor. Again, it's not perfect, but obviously the issue was even number of jurors with a final two can't work. We're facing a tie. Let's not pull a Micronesia. If you don't pull a juror removal, what do you do? My suggestion, as far-fetched as it might have been, was give them an opportunity to test how well they know the jury. Whoever, you know, is able to do better in that gets the ability to have an extra vote in their favor, because let's be honest, they probably would have earned, you know, a good amount of jury votes as it was.
Can I ask a question? Why is an even number with two not okay? And I have to assume that this is why they thought it was a final three, because they thought maybe that it was going to, I mean, I don't know what Chappies knew he was removing a juror. He should have really thought about it. But like, if you can't have 10 people and two jurors, so it has to be a final three. But then you have three people and nine jurors, which could also evenly split the three, and we'd have nowhere to go with that. So like, why is one and like having, I don't know, we've had so many juries that have had nine people to three contestants. We've only ever had one two-person even number in Micronesia, and like apparently that's so not okay. Like, I just don't really understand the difference.
I think it's because a final two is more of a binary, right? I think it's like, if you're comparing,
it
is it going to
happen though?
4-4 versus 3-3-3. 3-3-3 is almost never going to happen.
But it could as much happen.
Right, but then monkeys could fly on my butt. It's like about the same amount of chances.
It's just not the same. Monkeys flying on your butt. It's definitely not the same odds of that. Like, it could happen.
I just feel like the way the final tribal councils operate with three people, we talk about this a lot, right? That, like, the thing about final three is another reason why I'm a proponent of a final two above a final three is because it's not three evenly matched people. Almost at least one of them is going to be a goat and get zero votes. It could happen, but we even saw this at Winners at War. Like, people are not going to throw their votes away to someone who is probably guaranteed third place just to like see what would happen. Maybe the closest we got to that was Champions, right, where it was a 5-3-2 vote, where, you know, there was something that could have possibly happened. But I just feel like in a final three scenario, when there are more options in front of you, you are less, I think it's less likely to, you know, become that type of really close vote between all three competitors, as to, again, a final two, you have to vote one, you have to vote the other. I think that's going to provide more of a tightly contested match. I mean, look no further than something like U.S. politics as an example, right? If it's a binary choice, things become super tight. If you throw other parties into the mix, things become a little bit more of a runaway.
You could throw your vote away. I mean, I definitely think it's less likely to happen, but from a technical perspective of like the fact, like, I don't think either is really going to happen. We obviously had a tie between Wendell and Dom, but otherwise, especially lately, like, we don't really see super, super close votes a lot. Like, neither of these things will probably happen, but it technically can, so you maybe shouldn't let it have the possibility. I think in both cases, like, even though I agree with you that it's something that's unlikely, it's still technically possible. So, I don't know, just something to think about, because everyone's always thinking about the two and the even number, but like 9 and 3 seems to just like slip right under there. But with the juror removal, obviously came this other part, which was also, I think, somewhat controversial in that he speaks to a juror. Verna, this was not something that you got to have a nice lunch before you were removed from the jury or anything like that. Like, what did you think about this twist?
Oh,
yeah, wow, a lot of pain sighs today is what I'm thinking of.
No, yeah, no, so that's more thinking. For me, yeah, I saw, like, my wife actually went on social media after the episode, and I didn't overthink it too much. And then she said, oh, it looks like a lot of people said this advantage was just too heavy. And then as you spoke, I realized, oh, yeah, that is quite a big advantage. But it didn't strike me like that initially, right? It is unique, and I'd like to hear where you guys come in on that. It is unique and maybe too strong, but still for me, compared to the effect of, for example, Thai destinies.
You this, hated Thai destinies, didn't you?
I didn't like it at all.
You were like, here's why I like this, because it's not Thai destinies. Like every time we talk about it.
No, yeah, it's like I didn't like to be removed from the jury, but I hated being voted out so much more, you know. I would not write it in because you don't have to. And I just don't know. Look, I have contact with people from SA Survivor. We're good friends. I want to ask them on everything. But I don't know if there's a pressure in International Survivor to introduce new things. If it's maybe like, it's new, it's interesting times we're living in. We need to take the game forward. And it must be hard because in some ways, if you touch the game the right way, it really works. But is this one of those things that really works, or is it one of the things that we maybe should not see again? And if I have to vote, I'd say I don't hate it, but I would not like to see it again.
I think it's gotta be one or the other. I think where a lot of umbrage, understandably, that people take, and I guess I do as well, is pairing this with the juror removal so immediately, right? It's like, you know, it's like if you're playing if you're playing a game of poker and you're allowed to peek at one other person's hand, you know, you're able to then subsequently immediately factor that into your gameplay by like doing something offensively as a result of it. Maybe again, if it was done on its own, I think it would have been more palatable because then it's like, okay, I'm not guaranteed to make the final two, but I at least have some more insight as to what could happen. I also think that, you know, you could say, okay, and Nesu is giving Chappie some very valuable information as to like how he should pitch his game. I wouldn't be surprised if, had this not happened, she does the exact same thing in the final tribal council if he makes it, right? We certainly have seen jurors approach the contestants and be like, all right, just so you know, you have to do this tonight to get my vote. I would not be surprised if a Nesu in a final tribal council situation would do just that. I think it's a tough combination, especially to fall into the hands of one person at the exact same time of, let me find out what exactly is going on in the jury from one person's perspective, and then using that intel, get the decision to vote someone off of that jury.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, like, I think that, I thought this was an interesting thing to see. I mean, we saw something very similar in Champions where Bukhle talks to the captains, where I think that felt purer because maybe because the captains couldn't give as good information as a Nesu. Like, I heard that they were living with the jurors. They, like, she is going through juror by juror. It's specific, it's transparent. Like, the captains came in and they felt very far removed from it. I don't think that they were. I just think the best they could offer is like, Sivu is your best competition. Like, get rid of him. And it's just a little bit more base level. Possibly that's just due to who was sitting at those meals. So it's something that we have seen before. It's something, a bridge that has been crossed. And I thought it was quite interesting, although I do think, you know, we talk about strategic decisions, and that's why I like this. Okay, the decision of who to choose, the decision to even take their advice as an example and have that conversation. But then it neuters the next decision, which is, who are you going to remove from the jury? As we said, Jean made the wrong decision with you, Verna, and that was really interesting going into a final tribal council. Chappie gets a leg up where, again, he might have made the wrong decision just because he voted incorrectly, but he gets like all the information, as you said, peeking at the cards. And I think that those two in tandem made this a much easier decision for him, makes it more boring. And all of it together was just way too overpowered. Like, okay, talking to a juror should make you a big threat, but he's immune. You know, like all of these things kind of safeguarded each other to a degree. And I think if it was just like, you got to do one thing as part of one challenge, you want a reward to talk to a juror, okay, fine. Or you want a reward just to remove a juror, fine. And then there was an immunity challenge. But I think all of that and future life, it just all kind of, it was way too much. But I thought it was interesting by itself.
I think just to also bring balance, when I have said I don't like when there's too many things being fed in.
Yeah.
But what if Nicole ended up there?
Yeah, so that's another thing
we,
I think
how
as well.
Would we look at it then?
I do think that some of it is fed into like who won too, right? Like, not to say that we're all subjective people. I think that, you know, I'm not saying that everyone should try to be the emotionless robot when it comes to taking on Survivor, because it's inherently an emotional game. But I would not be surprised, to your point, if Smash ends up edging out Chappies and wins. I think people are a little less taken aback by it. I think it's more so like icing on the cake of, okay, Chappies has won all this stuff for the past several rounds.
Yes.
And now he gets to talk to a juror, and now he gets to vote someone off.
He's what we must not forget is, like, I have no problem with Chappies' physical immunity run, because he's working his butt off for that. Okay, so it's not ideal if someone has got such a long run, but he's working for it. But now it is accumulating into a lot of advantages, and I think that icing on the cake is just a bigger layer of icing, which then ends up with him sitting with Anesu. But would people have been a little bit more balanced about it if that was someone else? And I think so, right? Because these advantages are not being given to Chappies. And these are advantages. And maybe there should not be so many advantages, but he's collecting them all. And now it's like a big bag on one man's lap. But I don't have a problem in the way on which it falls onto him, because it's not his fault. He's going hard and he's winning it.
I think it's just that usually you win a challenge, you get immunity, or sometimes like immunity and food they've done before, like at a final six, for example. But like usually immunity or reward, and the rewards can be uneven. But the fact that this was so much, and it's not just that she's telling him like how to pitch, it's that she can kind of give him advice on maybe who to vote out, and it's who she can give advice on how to remove a juror. Like, he's making so many decisions that she can help with. And I just think if those were separated and maybe we just do like one of those things as a reward, I think juror removal, interesting reward. I think talking to a juror, interesting reward, but make do one or the other and make it just the reward and then have the immunity challenge. So another decision I want your insights on is, what did you think of Nico just outright telling them that it was a final two?
I prefer they did this way than I think the, oh, like, again, if we're mentioning Micronesia, right, the like, oh, you get a tree mail about it being your final immunity challenge. Like, I think this showed, granted, you know, maybe if they had told them beforehand at the beginning it was a final two, maybe a bunch of decisions would have been different. But I appreciate if the comparison is like, tell them now or have it be revealed the next day. I'm glad they told them now, because that's the only reason you get as interesting of a vote as we got here. And that, I think, is a point in the column of like letting players in on what's happening, at least give them a little bit of lead time. Because I think that way, you know, you cause Chappies to make this really interesting decision, as opposed to like, if he didn't know this, it's quite obvious he votes out Tyson and then he has his like, you know, Pikachu shocked face the next day, and then we move on from this. This, at least, like you said before, like, I don't blame Chappies for attempting to do what he does. Like, this is brand new information to him. He's going to attempt to leverage it in the best way possible. And so I personally like the decision here, because I think it creates some room to maneuver and say, like, okay, how does this change up what's happening?
Did they tell them in Micronesia did they think they were final three in the next morning? Dreamout.
Yeah.
No, I like this way better. I like this way better. Let the players play. Show them the field. Show them that they can bring strategy to the game. That's what we want to see, right? And so even though Chappie's team did not come off last night, I enjoyed the way he was thinking into the game. Oh, this is not the final three. You have to show them enough so that they can play the game and make decisions. I like that.
Yeah, I think that we always say we want them to have like transparency, that they can strategize around authentic situations. I find that more entertaining than watching people make like bad moves on wrong assumptions. Although this episode, we got like really entertaining examples of both, I think, with the flip and also Chappies giving up the food because he just was sure that it was a final three. My question as well, why did they think it was a final three? Like, Kieran is hilarious about this in Jury Villa where he's like, what were you thinking? He's like giving them points and taking away points for that, which Kieran, like, that's our job. What are you doing? But I appreciate the reference. And he's like also like explaining how the vote went to the jury. I was like, Kieran, are you just doing like a podcast at this
jury
villa?
I love it. He's our envoy and I'm so happy.
Oh, why? Like, he's so right. He's like, it's day 37. I'm like, I'm with you, Kieran. I, like, okay, the 9-3-10-2 thing, possibly that. Maybe they didn't think 10-2. But again, Chappie knows he's removing Ajura, so he should really be like, well, it's clearly going to be final two. 9-2 is like definitely what they're going to do, right?
It might be as easy as last season was a final three, and that had 21 players. Precedent. And also,
that
like,
was the Micronesia thing as well, right? That they'd done it for like three seasons. They were like, I guess this is just how it is now. But that was just one season, like two seasons ago. It was final two. Like, that's not enough precedent for this.
What sometimes happens on the island is you have days when you don't always have the rhythm of one day this reward, immunity, tribal, because sometimes it's like massive weather storms and there's weird things happening. So it's not extremely odd. Let's say, for example, players were told there's a final three, which should not happen here. It's not like weird to have the tribal council from 4 to 3 a day 37, because you don't know that there might be like a massive cyclone eating on day 38 and they're just going to leave you to sit through it and you'll finish up the next day. These were things that we also had to deal with. At one stage, I remember we were 3 tribes, but there was storms on the ocean. So they couldn't transport us when they wanted to move the game forward. So there are these extra days to make sure everything can happen. So you can't just only look at the day and say, it's definitely going to be a final two because it's day 37, because we don't know. We don't have weather reports as players, for example. We've got nothing.
Well, I understand that, but I just feel like, why were they so, like, especially Chappie's, why was he so sure it was a final three? If you're tossing up, could be either. Okay, yeah, you take out Tyson. It's not worth the risk for what he's bringing from a jury perspective, because, like, physically, as I've said, kind of even. Yeah, you're tossing it up. Why was he so sure? Like, it definitely could be either. It definitely could be a final two.
Oh, I don't know. I think going back to the Micronesia, and this happened, I guess, supposedly with your season as well, Werner, like, those were both supposed to be final threes, and then there were circumstances outside of their control that threw a spanner into the work. So, like, maybe again, it's just this idea, even from a super duper fan perspective, of final three has been around for some time. Australia is the only one that still does final twos, and even that is like in an extremely lengthened game. I think there's a reason why, especially if you're a fan of the American version, right? Who hasn't done. They did a final two in Cagayan, but besides that, there hasn't been one in like 22 seasons. I could see why you just assume final three. I would say actually maybe the best way to tell them, as much as the fun as the reveal was at Tribal Council, I do like what they did in Cook Islands and Fiji. They both did the final three reveal before the final Tribal Council. I mean, before the final immunity challenge. Maybe you do it there as well to be like, oh, this is not the final immunity challenge, but maybe, you know, that's a little bit of like a Survivor Thailand thing, right? Where you have Nico Tribal Council saying, well, I didn't say it was the last immunity challenge, so you're gonna have to do more.
And also
they say final six, final five, final three, final two. So it is technically the final three players, but it's not the
everything's the final eight.
That's a problem.
language. I think they just wanted it to be true. It's like when they say, like, when you have rose colored glasses on, like, red flags just look like flags, which is something I was thinking about because I just watched Heroes versus Villains, and that's like JT's whole move. But that's what this is. I feel like even Nicole is saying, I want it to be a final three. Chappie's clearly wants it. I think they were like, and scene. Like, we're finished now. All of us, it's done.
Imagine if the cast staged like a mutiny from that perspective, right? Of like, no, we're finishing with a final three this season. We're not going to do the immunity challenge. We're not going.
We're going to final tribal council now, and we're pitching to the jury, Nico. We've taken over. The inmates are running the asylum. Well, it's not that. It is a final two. And I would love to look ahead at what this jury is going to think, do some matchups. I think it's important to talk about what a juror has said to a player, because we got that information. We do have that. So I thought it was a really good person to choose an SO. She's so clear headed and will, you know, so much trust where he, like, you know, such a good relationship.
And
so
not only that, I think she is the friendliest with everyone on the jury.
Yeah,
that I think
that was the point as well.
You know, she's such a good double agent back in the merge that I think she has a perspective of both the Zambas and the Vunas. Before we get to that, though, can we just go quickly on Chappie's decision to remove Warda? Because I know there has been some discourse going on as to whether or not it was the right decision. How do you both feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, like, yeah, as I said, like, I just feel that it was made for the wrong reason. It was about sitting next to Tyson. Those are the words that he gives. So for me, the reasoning is wrong, and I don't like that. But Warda seems like a good bet. because she's not only pro-Tyson, she's anti-Chappies across the board, but she also is anti-Smash. And that was an interesting thing to me, where Inesu said that if he's against Smash, he would get Warda. So that was an interesting one to me that could come back to bite him if he's sitting next to Smash, which I think is unlikely, because I think he'd choose Nicole and I think Smash would choose Nicole. But if that happens, I think it's a vote he could lose. So it's based on the fact that he votes wrong, I feel like. It's based on that whole confusion where he doesn't have the control in that vote, and it comes down to who he actually votes out the jury in a double vote as well.
Yeah, I didn't see a problem with his choice there. I think he would have liked if he could vote with Tyson being voted off, then Sumo vote, and then vote Tyson off the jury. Because Tyson literally said, I disrespect Chappies, and there was a lot of animosity there. But I mean, he didn't have that option. But since he can't vote Tyson off, I don't think Warda was, in any case, a bad person to remove.
I agree. Yeah, I think she would have... He would have been doing what John did to you, Werner, right? This idea of like, well, the person I most recently voted off, I fear that they're going to be burned by me. I think Tyson was obviously more vocal about that than you ever would have been. But I have no qualms with this decision whatsoever. Like you said, Shannon, I think the reasoning is a little suspect, but this was going to be an anti-Chappies vote. I know that...
Not against Smash.
Yeah. I don't know. I totally
I mean, Inesu thinks that he would get Warda against Smash. Like, Warda, I don't know, 50-50, she hates them both. Like, actually, he saved Warda in that case from like a very, very unenviable position that she has to... She should be sending him a thank you note if she would have to go and vote for either Smash or Chappies.
Yeah, like, I understand that. But also, remember the last interaction they had, right, was Chappies stealing her rice, switching it out for sand, her... yelling at him for the entirety of a tribal council, calling him Durao. Like, I don't know. I just don't see a world where she would ever vote for him, even against someone like Smash. I think that Chappies has burned her so much more than Smash has as of late. So, like, I could absolutely understand the decision. I could also see, like, that Warda would probably be beating the anti-Chappies drum. Like, she probably is president of the I Hate Chappies fan club, and while you think that maybe on paper Kieran would be someone you'd want to vote out because he is more vocal, right, he even said last episode, like, oh, I'm gonna turn all the jurors around, he probably is the more dangerous person to keep on the jury. I think Chappies probably feels like Kieran has a chance to be won over to his side, especially depending on who he's sitting against someone like Warda, who in very, very rare circumstances is going to ever vote for him to win the game.
Yeah, it's just interesting that Inesu says that she would vote for Chappies against Smash. It was also interesting that Inesu was giving it like it was a final two. Like, when she's delivering the information, she's not like, hey, here's who would get in the final three. She's like, you versus this person. It feels like the jury, again, Kieran's been on the jury discussing it, and he says, why do they think it was a final three? So it feels like the jury thinks that it's going to be a final two. Maybe that's the key information that she should have given him.
Well, yeah.
Doing it as one-on-one matchups.
I guess the question is, do you think production tipped their hand a bit to the jurors that it would be a final two?
I think that they're just, like, I would read it that way. There's more people, I guess, discussing it. They probably endlessly discuss these things. Like, they probably just assume it will be a final two. It's all just their opinion. Like, production wasn't necessarily confirming it, definitely not for the players. But it's weird how she's like, this is how you go against just Nicole. This is how you go against just Smash, just Tyson. He's like, all right, one on my left, one on my right. She's like, that's definitely just not what I said. Like, I definitely was talking about these final two matchups. So the information that she gives is she says that Tyson would get Warda and maybe Kieran. I was like, have you met Kieran and Tyson? Like, okay. She says that Smash would get maybe some of the Zumbas and that he would beat Nicole with every vote. So that's what she says. Let's see if we disagree. Obviously, she's, you know, giving a lot of information about, like, play up the food stuff, which, as you're saying, she probably would have given him a little bit of nudge whenever she was talking to him at Final Tribal Council as well. But in terms of these matchups, Chappies and Smash is a matchup I don't think, as I said, we'll get. I think that they'd both choose Nicole, but I think they should both choose Nicole. This is, when I was putting the votes down, this was so much closer than I thought it could ever be. So here's what I think. Let me know who you agree and disagree with. I think Chappies gets Inesu, Suntony, probably Kieran. I think Smash gets Tyson and Nicole, who are two jurors that Inesu can't help him with.
Mm-hmm.
And here I think I have question marks on Rainier and Sean and Amy, who are all really close with Smash, but do like strategy. But when I look at Jury Villa, always playing devil's advocate for the Zumbas. I think they want something to vote for. I think that they want to be able to vote for the good player because, yes, they're super fans, but I think they're very willing to do that. If he gives them anything, I feel Rainier, Amy, and Sean would be pretty keen to vote for Smash, who they were close with. I think Marisha was obviously not as big a super fan, maybe isn't voting as much on game, maybe is more impressed with like Chappie's wins, but you know, she wasn't as close to Smash, so possibly she's going in Chappie's direction. But I think Rainier, Amy, and Sean, that's an interesting one for me.
I would think they'd vote Smash. I think he
would Smash beat Chappie's?
I think it would at
no.
least I don't think so, Werner.
Look, like Rainier, a fan like Rainier, I can't talk for Amy because I don't think she's as a big fan. Like, same with Marisha, but I can't see someone like Rainier. I'll put him in the same boat as Kieran. They will put their emotions aside and try and vote for the best player of the season. And so I can't see. Well, maybe I'll be proven wrong. I can't see Rainier and Kieran voting for Smash.
Kieran, I think, votes for Chappie. I think it's Rainier and Sean are really interesting to me because like Rainier, Sean, and Smash were like really, really close. Like Sean was like a father figure to them, and like I think they're not going in as sure Chappie's votes. Like I think Smash could go in and win them, but I do think he'd have to give them something. They don't want to just vote on friendship. That's not the type of juror that especially someone like Rainier is, but he's always playing devil's advocate for someone like Smash and Jury Villa. I think if Smash can go in and point to a few things and he's been sneaky and stuff, I think it's a run downhill for those votes for me. Like they want to do it, but you got to give him something.
And I think he will. Like, and I loved in this episode that Tyson pumps Anella up with the exact same reasoning that he uses to Chappie.
Yeah. I was like, he's getting a jury visit as well, but it's with Tyson.
Yeah, because Chap, in the beginning, you know, he's like, oh, you're so, you know, you're articulate and you also have this narrative of being the underdog Zomba. And then he goes to Chappie's later on, we got to get rid of Anella. He's very articulate and there's an underdog with the Zomba, an underdog narrative. And it's like, it's so fantastic how it's a double-edged sword in that regard. But if Tyson's speaking an ounce of truth, I got to imagine that Anella's got to be able to, like, vocalize at least some of his game, right? But I do think it's an interesting point from Rainier specifically, where Rainier could be the Spencer to Chappie's Tony, of him being like, he was against me this entire game. And maybe that's where that Rainier Chappie stuff pre-merge is going to come out, where Rainier says, ultimately, this was the guy that outplayed us all. He turned it around. I think we all got to vote for him. So I think of that.
Not against Smash.
Yeah, I don't know. We shall see. Because again, it's also while they have been close, it's been what, like, 13 days since they were voted onto the jury. I do wonder what their thoughts have been as they've been watching their friends from the sideline. I do agree this is the closest possible outcome, and I think those Zombas are, interestingly enough, going to be the most operative people, because like you said, I think the Vuna votes are pretty much locked in.
Well, whoever Chappie sits with, Nicole or Smash, he's getting a Zumba majority jury because he's got Rainier, Sean, Amy, Marisha, and then one of Nicole and Smash. So we need to get some Zumba votes. I think against Smash, it's tough. And it is funny to me that if Smash wins that against someone like Chappie's, it'll be mostly due to his relationships. It won't be a resume at all. It'll be a sprinkle because, as we're saying, that he needs to give him something, but it'll be like 90%, I really want to vote for you, give me something, and then like give him 10% of the resume just to get him over the line. I think he could do it. And when I was like, because it feels like he's an auto winner. When I was like writing it out, I was like, maybe this is up in the air. I think it would be an interesting battle. It's not a battle I foresee happening. It's not a battle I think that either of them should choose. But anyway, there's something intriguing there for sure. Chappie's versus Nicole is less intriguing for me. I think he'll win. I think he gets Anesu, Santini, Kieran. I think Rainier and Sean, who yes are Zumbas, but I think at that point like there's less of the relationship and there's maybe a bigger disparity in gameplay. And then I think there are question marks on Amy and Marisha, who are close with Nicole. I think Marisha would probably vote for Nicole. And then I think Tyson is an interesting one because he they don't respect him as a human, but he does qualify. I respect him as a competitor. So there's some stuff there, but I think between Inesu, Santini, Kieran, Rainier, and Sean, there's a majority.
Those girls were very tight, eh? Amy, Marisha, and Nicole. They were a very tight trio. It's hard for me to see those girls not voting for her against Anela. They'll vote for Chappies, but when it's Nicole against Anela, I see those votes flowing to Nicole, especially if she climbs off this last challenge, the champion, or if she takes immunity.
Let's talk about this again, like one in a million scenario that I brought up before, because you talk about the Tyson vote, Shannon. If Nicole wins and somehow brings Chappies to the end, do you think Tyson votes for Chappies in that scenario? Does he vote for Nicole being like, you won that last challenge, you earned your spot?
I think he votes for Chappies. Like, I see it because he's always saying, I don't respect you as a man, but he always says, I respect you as a competitor. And I feel like that would really be like the emotionless full circle. It's like, I respect you, your game, and that's enough for me. And I don't see him voting for Nicole. I see him voting for Smash because that's a much closer relationship. And that's just really, like, Tyson's definitely voting for Smash. Like, they were really, really tight, but I don't see it with Nicole.
Yeah. I guess if I were ranking, you know, I guess if we're ranking the three finalists based on like likeliness to vote, I think for Tyson, it would definitely go Smash, Chappies, Nicole in that order.
Yeah. And on that note, so if Smash is versus Nicole, I think Smash is an easy win. I mean, this is the order that they're giving us, this order at Jury Villa that is like Chappies, Smash, Nicole. And that's why the Chappies and Smash matchup kind of confuse me. So Smash would get Chappies. He'd get Tyson for sure if this was versus Nicole. He'd get Kieran, I think, Santini, Anesu, Sean, Rainier, Amy, and I think Nicole would only get Marisha. Like, I think Smash is close with someone like an Amy. Yes, Amy's close to Nicole too, but she had more of an alliance with Smash. He has the Zumba votes. He's actually played like a game that they would back more than Nicole, who took them all to the water park. And I think Anesu saying Nicole gets no votes, so she's obviously not voting for Nicole. Even like Kieran, I think, would see more at least active gameplay in what Smash is trying to do than more passive in Nicole. Like, I don't see very many votes there for her at all.
But plus, remember that that night, like, yes, Anela did turn on them, but like, he did vote alongside
but
them.
Then he turned back.
Exactly. Like, Nicole did vote for Kieran. And then
I'm gonna take up smoking just to quit. Like, that's what that was. I was like, well, you quit. Like,
yeah, so it's interesting. So in all three scenarios you mapped out, Shannon, we have Chappies winning once, we have Smash winning once, and then we have a toss-up. So unfortunately, it seems like Nicole, from your perspective, is pretty much guaranteed to not be the winner. Second place at best for Nicole this season.
I think that's a sentiment I'm getting from the jury. And Anesu tells Chappies you get every vote against her. So, yeah.
That's I wish I could prove you guys wrong here.
I mean, who knows?
I mean, where's the majority?
She like, might be able to turn it around. I mean, listen, I know you were not at your season's final tribal council, but it seemed like that was a little indicative, right? Like, look at someone like Tom, who was able to, as messy as his game was, to your point, Werner, before, like, at least try to create a narrative behind it, as opposed to what Jean does, which is more so being like, well, it was luck. I'm no better than you all. Really like humbling herself in a moment where she should be pumping herself up. Who knows? You know, I don't necessarily see that from someone like Nicole, but I think she could be absolutely surprising. You made that Christy comparison, right? If she comes into the final tribal council and just like if the other person completely tanks it, not able to explain their game whatsoever, and she comes in and talks about the underdog narrative that she has, she has a chance of getting more votes than maybe we prognosticate. I don't know if it's enough to get her over the line, but it would be really interesting. She has by far the least confessionals out of the final three. I think the Natalie White comparison would very much bear out there. But listen, Survivor South Africa can surprise. Maybe it happens.
It feels unlikely to me from an edit perspective and from a jury perspective. Look, I've got a one vote and at best two in my two matchups. So it's a really, really tough one, because if she wins a challenge, which is an impressive thing, I think either she takes Smash, which is the right decision, but at that stage, I just have everyone voting for him, or she takes Chappies, which I think will look like a wrong decision. So that would be like another mark against her. And even though I have like, okay, well, maybe Amy will vote for her then, when she wouldn't against Smash, but like then she also made the bad decision. So it's like, they're kind of a lose-lose for her.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, I want to get to the Chizzy. Before we do, should we farewell Tyson a bit? Because he was such a big character in this season. Obviously, one after the other with Kieran going last week. But the bromance was such a highlight for me. I know that Tyson was maybe more of a divisive character than someone like Kieran. But from the preseason interview that we did with him, I feel like, hey, I understand this guy with this like huge story coming in. He's the youngest person on the cast. Definitely a lot of bravado there. But I felt like seeing underneath that and kind of the journey of emotionality and the relationships that he made while still having his guard up was like a really interesting dichotomy for me. And I honestly, like, I would laugh at the beginning of every episode when it would open with some like cocky Tyson confessional. I thought it was hilarious. Like, he comes out big and brash, but I feel that we got to know him beyond that and definitely a part of some of the biggest moves of the season, some of the biggest moments. And I think he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, he's an incredibly flashy player. You know, everything he was doing with the idols, let's remember he was the idol king, right? He finds and plays too. I agree that I wouldn't call him like a capital V villain, but I feel like the way he was pumping himself up was very much in that capacity, especially for that while when the trio was in power, right? When he's saying like, I'm the most powerful person in this game. Nobody can touch me. You dare look at me a bad way and I'm going to strike you down. Like, I think Tyson's braggadocio was very fun to watch. His voting confessionals as well, you know, calling Inesu like a snake. He really was leaning in on that. I want to parse that conversation by talking about something with Werner, because Tyson, in some of his like exit press stuff on the Mnet website, talks about how like he was actually happy with not seeing a lot of the show prior to coming on because he felt like he could be more unorthodox with his approach. Obviously, I think you are the polar opposite in that regard, and being such a super fan of the game that it allowed you to be really prepared for what Survivor might throw at you. Do you have any thoughts about that, about Tyson feeling like actually not being prepared for the game helped him?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just, you're trying to call your, you're trying to look at the cup half full. You know, I enjoy watching Survivor, and I never did it as homework. So then it went and helped me in the game. But I think if you feel like super overwhelmed to go and look at a lot of Survivor, you might as well say, listen, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stress about it. So let me adopt the following posture. I'm going to go in there and just play it as I feel. So maybe that's what he did. You definitely will be generally better in the game if you know some basics. Ask Nicole and the Water Challenge. But I can see someone saying, listen, it's too late for me now to try and catch up on everything. Let me rather know that I'm not a fan. Let me tell my alliance, hey, I don't know as much, help me here, and play that. So maybe that made sense for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, it definitely leaves, I think, an interesting final three going into the finale. I'll stick by my hot take. I think Nicole will win that challenge, because in the next time on, she's like crying about how the challenge could change her life. I'm like, it seems like you won the challenge. And then I think she'll take Smash, and I think Smash will win. So that's where I'm putting it down. That's maybe unorthodox, but I feel like I'm just used to the rug being pulled from under me. Werner, first with you. And this season a lot, like, it felt like it was going to be Rainier, Inesu, Chappies, and it won't be. I think it'll be Smash.
Yeah, I'm also, you know, obviously, as you allude to in your exit press, Shannon, Tyson's going to be one of the people we're talking to after the season. Speaking of unorthodox, I really want to hone in more on that about him. You know, he really says like, oh, my approach was, you know, so new that people were telling me throughout that I created a new way to play the game. I want to hone in on that a bit more when talking to him, because I will fully admit I don't see it necessarily. We were making a lot of comparisons actually between him and Dominic over the course of this, so I would love to get his perspective as to what this new way of playing the game was. Because I guess I'll fully admit, and this might be my own blunted perspective, I didn't necessarily see that.
Well, maybe he just thinks that because he hasn't watched Survivor, so it's new in the context.
Compared to the small sample size, yeah, exactly. I'm playing a new way.
Yeah, like that makes sense.
The whole game is new for him. So.
He's like, I've not watched it, and I played it in a new way. It's like, everything is new to you. That's like a newborn baby. You're like, and this is new too. It's like, no, this has existed for centuries. You are new. You are a new baby.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, it's like object permanence, right? It's playing peekaboo of like, I don't know what this game. Oh, who's Dominic? Oh, yeah, I guess I did play like him.
I mean, I didn't need to fantasize into a baby, but maybe that's what it is. And I'm going to just divert from that right now and go to the chizzy. So take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
One, two, three. It's getting
kind of chizzy.
Three, two, one.
So this is an interesting one because Chappie is on Kieran's tail. Who will win the chizzy? I will start so I can do my math. I'm going to give 3 points to Smash. As I said, he's my winner pick. I feel good about it. I think the pathway is there. I think the connection with Tyson was again key. He gained the trust by outing Chappie's lies. He made that connection between Chappie's and Tyson just completely untenable, even more so than it was. And then Tyson couldn't trust him at all to the point where he voted himself out. And he survives this when he was in trouble and goes into next week in a pretty good spot. I feel like maybe I do think it's Chappie's, but that's just like too obvious a thing to say. I'm putting it all behind Smash. I'm giving 2 points to Nicole, who I think did really well at Tribal, as I've said. The fact that she was like Chappie's go-to, possibly even more than Tyson, that he was really kind of investing in that communication, that she placated him and lied to him well to prevent further conversation, even when she tried to convince him at first with some logic. It wasn't working. She just stays with it and makes the 2-1-1 happen. And I also think the fact that she stayed out of trouble here, where she should be a big threat for an endurance-style final three, if that's coming up, and her name doesn't come up. So I think she's well protected there. And then I would give 1 point to Chappie's. For winning when he needed to through more Chappie's diner stuff. He, you know, plan A is going well. Thought he chose well with Inessa as well, but points are lost for giving up the food with the final three assumption and then voting wrong. That, you know, might make his juror removal slightly more wrong, definitely makes the reasoning wrong. That might make his pathway more difficult. He doesn't achieve his objective. Through a lot of that assumption of thinking it was a final three, so he doesn't have more time to get this done. And also through a relationship with Tyson where he just could not be trusted. And he has to bear some weight for that, for the fact that that was just so bad that to both of their detriment, they, you know, can't get on the same page here. And then Tyson goes home. So he has to take some part in that, and the fact that Tyson just couldn't trust him at all. And those are my points. Mike, I mean, what are you going with?
Copy paste. I completely agree. I was thinking about possibly switching around Chappie's and Nicole because of the correct juror reads that Chappie's has, both in taking Inessa and voting off Warda. But yeah, I think that he still has a little bit to go in terms of he still has to win that one more challenge. And I think, unfortunately, he's a bit overweighed by the fact that Anella and Nicole outweighed him here. They got one over on him. He attempts to pull a coup, but I think partially due to his own, you know, bad relationship with Tyson, and due in part to Anella's good relationship with Tyson, he ends up not winning out here. So I think I'm going to go 3 Smash, 2 Nicole, 1 Chappie's as well.
Okay, Werner, who are you giving your points to? I'm sorry that whoever you're giving it to will not be joining you as a chizzy winner, because apparently you're not a chizzy winner. We still need to crown an actual chizzy winner.
I want to give first place to Chappie's.
Wow.
For pulling off the win. I know I'm excusing his misvote for pulling off the win, for wiggling himself into very important jury information, which some people did not like, but it happened, and he took that gap and voting off of the jury correctly. That's why I'm giving it to Chappie's. Then I wanted to tie Anela and Nicole, but I'll tell you why.
No,
I will move Anela to the I will give Nicole second place. You guys aren't gonna like this. For staying the course, doing what she needed to do. The reason I'm putting Anela in 3 is because he was visibly upset at not beating Chappie's in that challenge, showing Chappie's that he wanted to vote him out, and so that if Chappie's win, he might boot Anela out and take Nicole. So that's why I'm putting Anela at number 3. He was showing his hand too clearly to Chappie's.
That's interesting, because that makes the charts very interesting, because Kieran's in the lead on 46, Santini on 43, Tyson left on 39, and now Chappies with that 5 points is on 39. 7 points to tie Kieran next week and 8 to beat him, with 9 total up for grabs. So if he wins, Kieran might get passed, which would be pretty painful for Kieran. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Anesu left on 26, Rainier on 15, and sorry, Smash went up there to 20, so passed Rainier. This week he got 7 points and Nicole got 6, so Smash won the Chizzy this week. Carla on 14, Amy was left on 12, Nicole now goes up to 10. She had 4 points the whole season up till now and got 6 this week, so that was a good week. Warden and Dino left on 2, and Sean and Marisha on 1, and those are the points. And next week it'll just be me and Mike in the podcast. We need some third votes. It's not going to be a raffle. We are going to be doing a fan vote for the Chizzy. I'll put it out on social media in the Patreon group and on Twitter. And yeah, we are going to be putting it out probably with just the final three, whoever gets the most votes, vote seriously as well. Like, this is a serious thing. Vote seriously for who you think should win. Whoever gets the most votes will get 3, 2, and 1 points. And that will be how it's decided. So a lot of fun things happening with the Chizzy. I hope it doesn't just denigrate the entire formula.
Yeah, so, and we should also bring up, speaking of fan votes, because I do believe the fan favorite vote for SA proper closed this week. Do we have a sense? I know we just tried to plan out the jury votes. Who do we think has the fan vote, though, for this season?
That's a good question. I have no idea how the casuals feel, because I don't go on Survivor Facebook. From Twitter, Santini is one. Who do Facebook like? Do we know?
Yeah,
I think Chappies. I think yeah. Chappies. If the young kids are voting with their parents, he's getting immunities and doing funny stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's a casual fan vote, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's just for the masses.
I think it's no coincidence that the two people that have won it so far, Werner, first it was you. You were voted off the week before.
No, he didn't actually win. That was a Mandela effect.
No, he actually
okay, yeah, won the fan favorite vote.
And then last year it was Rob, right, who like made it all the way to the end. I really do think a lot of these fans' votes are a bit results-oriented, or at least like recency bias. And I think Santini has been top tier, but she's been gone for 3 weeks now. And so especially if the voting ends this week, I wouldn't be surprised if, because Chappies has been so front and center and Santini's, you know, been rocking that purple windbreaker in jury, but really hasn't said or done anything. If Chappies had taken Santini on this jury lunch, maybe it would have actually, ironically enough, helped her chances, but right now, I'm thinking the top three are Chappies, Santini, and Anesu, and I agree that I think Chappies is probably going to win the vote next week.
That's interesting. Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. It's so hard because, like, Twitter, I mean, everyone feels a lot about Chappies. Like, there's the love, obviously, which we should have, and then there's, like, the extreme, I don't know if it's just, like, you want to see, like, a win streak come to an end. Like, that's just our natural instinct. But, like, people seem to want that to the point where people are, like, tagging LaRue, getting mad about like things being overpowered or the challenges being to Chappie's advantage, which just like makes me so angry, because like LaRue puts himself out there with the fans in a way that no other EP would do, and then people like abuse that and come anyway. It's just really irritated me. Like, obviously Chappie's is winning off his own back. He won a huge reward here that we're saying was overpowered, but like, don't tag LaRue. Tag us. We're production consultants. It's our fault. Don't tag LaRue on that. Awful.
Yeah, I think that, especially from a challenge perspective, these are planned out so far ahead of time. There is in no world someone's like, well, this person's in trouble, but I'll throw some water challenges in there. Plus, like, look at this challenge. Look at even the last challenge as well. Like, Nico even points it out as, you know, the similar story both times, that Chappies does not get out to, like, an automatic win early on. You know, he's good with the monkey's fist this past time, but I don't think people are asking around, like, who's good with the monkey's fist? Just really curious. Maybe we'll throw it to a challenge. Maybe not. I think it's just Chappies is really good in challenges. To be frank, he might be one of the best challenge performers I've ever seen. I think we really need to take that into consideration. I know that obviously there's a lot more to talk about with the food and with all the juror stuff, but he has won 5 immunity challenges in a row. That is wild. Especially in modern Survivor.
And his opposition is not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
His opposition is not bad.
Look at Kieran, Anesu, even people like Nicole and Smash. And I mean, it's not like, you know, Colby Donaldson were back in the day. It was like, okay, win this trivia contest or win this game of, you know, domination. No, this is, you know, intense modern Survivor physical challenges. I think he is just an incredibly well-rounded player from a physicals perspective specifically, and he has a chance to break the all-time record next week if he wins that final immunity challenge.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what, that was such a trick question. It was the monkey's paw after the monkey's fist that was like, would you like to break the record? And he was like, yes. And it was like, well, good, because it's a final streak, so you might lose the game, but you could break the record, and that's what you asked for. No takesies, backsies. That's what we're doing on this. So, yeah, he's definitely excelling in the challenges, and that's what, you know, that's the challenges he's been given. Survivor South Africa goes with the result more than, like, any other franchise. Verna, if you had lost on Jeff's time, the next season is getting fire, you know, like, and they're just like, that's what happened. So, yeah, I think they're just going with it. And obviously, Chappie is making the most of it. So one thing he did win was a Future Life breakfast, the biggest reward of all, and everything that he won this week. Let's talk about the sponsors a little bit in the Biostrath Variety Hour. Take it away, Jacob Sager-Weinstein and the U.S. Army Blues.
And now it's the Biostrath Variety Hour with your hosts, Shannon Gus.
I don't know what I was expecting.
And Mike Blue. Biostrath, it's delicious.
Oh my god.
So, did you guys scream the same as I did when, before he announces the breakfast, he's like, you can have breakfast with a jury member while discussing your future life in the game? And I was like, oh, future life. Like, did you guys get that little Easter egg?
I mean, I will not admit I did not respond a la an episode of Blue's Clues, but yeah, I saw that.
You did? Yeah. And you yelled
I didn't
out.
Get that.
I did not yell out future life.
I did. I was like, my friend, you're on the show. And then they were like, and then I was like, wow, did they just like work that in because they're a sponsor with no reason? But no, it's because they got a future life breakfast, which, yeah, that was good too. You know, got a lot of the logos. Because Future Life tweeted this week, in Survivor as in life, putting yourself first is vital. Switch your to Future Life, smart nutrition for life. I think that is a typo that I didn't make. I think it's their typo. But they're also part of this, like, ridiculous mantra that I just refuse to go with, which is just putting yourself first in Survivor as in life, putting yourself first is vital. Is that what we want from life? No, no. Survivor as in life, we think of others. The social game is important. The jury vote itself. Like, in life, we help those around us. We don't put ourselves first. Like, what message is the show and Future Life putting ahead of us? No, I reject that. I reject that putting yourself first is vital.
Yeah, it's I don't think it's the exact mood for 2021. It's like, think of only yourself first. Think of nobody else.
Oh my god, future life arrest. This might get the review from the bachelor. Yeah. It's all about your individual choice. It's not about how we live in a society. No. No. I reject that future life. What are you putting out there for the kids?
Listen, can I just tell you guys, you are still happy because we watch the show live as it comes on our televisions, right? Because you don't want to get spoiled and you get spoiled so quickly. Especially people still message me and phone me about episodes. So we watch on time. And so we get the live ads, right? Now, yes. What you need to imagine is in every ad break, I think there's four or five, you get the same sequence of ads. You get one feature live ad of a family hiding in the bushes, and they're like, you know, looking like they're scouting,
yeah,
and then they see a table and they run
on Twitter. Okay. Yeah.
You see that one, then you see the Mahindra, the same one, mm-hmm. the Bucky drives, and then what's the other stuff we see? Oh, there we see the Fresh Stop, which is it's like a store next to a gas station along big routes in South Africa. Okay, and so we see you've got the episode, something happens, and then you see the ads, and then it goes on. And so, I just thought I had to share that with you guys.
Is that one of those things where, like, you can recite the commercials by now because you've watched them so much?
Yeah, like some of them has got a catchy song, so the children, they start to pick up on the tune and sing. There's a very catchy phone with it now, some of the foldable phone with a catchy big song out there. And so when it comes up, all the kids, oh, it's a song, and they sing together. So yeah, it definitely happens.
I love the brands getting to the kids, unless their message is only think about yourself. It's a horrible message. And now I'm thinking about that Future Life ad, which is the family like running through the jungle. I'm like, why are you in this dystopian universe? Oh, because we're in a society that doesn't care for each other. No, no Future Life. And speaking of, the brand that thinks about the other brands the most, they were like Fresh Stop, when they're like, who wants to watch, who's going to watch The Voice of South Africa with us tonight? They tag Future Life and Mahindra. So they're like being social. But then they also had a photo of the Future Life reward with the breakfast. And they said, hands up for delicious fresh fruit from Fresh Stop, which I thought was funny because I was like, this is a Future Life reward. But because there is fruit, which is sold at the gas station, saw that it's Fresh Stop. Now it's like also a Fresh Stop reward. Like anything could be a Fresh Stop reward because they sell like pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I am surprised that they didn't go to the Fresh Stop like, you know, much like Marisha and Dino went to, right? Just like pick whatever you want to. But I guess they wanted to give Chappies a nice, healthy thing to eat. It makes sense. I think of all the people, Chappies and Inesu would probably be the ones to most appreciate the healthy food. Even Chappies is like, I've gorged myself on too much crab and sweets. I need something healthy to cleanse the body. Give me all those bananas.
Chappies is currently eating, like, I feel more than I am. Like, he's really just eating so much food. And even Inesu is just like sitting there and eating. I think she probably felt bad. It's like she's coming from Jury Villa. Like, she doesn't really need all this stuff. But in terms of Fresh Stop jumping on the Future Life sponsor, I would say it's fine because putting yourself first is vital. So that was a fine thing to do, to just kind of knife Future Life there. I thought Altrans had a cute tweet. It was like a picture of Inesu and Chappies like running to each other and like about to hug. And it's like when you tell a friend about Altrans and now they're saving money too. It was just like cute to use their little friendship. And Wildco Sun tweeted saying, foraging is the name of the game. Did you know we had coconuts on the Wild Coast? Which I thought was funny just because we heard that they were placed by production.
I love it so much. So Shannon, this is the penultimate week of the Brand Slur. I think you gotta make some cuts here. We can't be at a US finale and going with like six things still in contention.
Yeah, I mean, who got cut? Techniblock got cut. I think I'm gonna bring back Techniblock.
No! Stop it!
Next week, I want to go in with all the brands. I want to make one decision.
I know. It's going to be one of these things where we're coming back with all the brands that we had in the very beginning. And I just like rip my hair out of what are we even doing here?
The Brand Slur was the edge of extinction. Everyone's in. Everyone came back. And whoever was there to get that random Brights Hideaway, you're in. The Bidvest Protea coin, you're in. Everyone's back. That was what I was doing the whole time. I got it, you know, down to a few brands. Now it's back. Is anyone enjoying this? I am, but if I was actually making a serious decision, I would definitely cut Future Life for saying that putting yourself first is vital in life. They also weren't just like in Survivor. In Survivor, putting yourself first is vital. I disagree. I think it's a social game, but they qualified. They made sure we said in life, and I just strongly disagree, but they're still kept in because that's the bit that I'm going with.
I don't know. I think this is, again, if we're comparing it to The Bachelor, right? This is where you find out that like, oh, wait, you do not believe in the same things I do. I do not think we're going to make a good couple in this regard.
But I don't think that.
But I suppose if you're creating the edge of extinction for these brands, then I suppose you have to keep it in.
The standards are low, and that's what we've learned through The Branchula. Let's ask some questions. We pretty much got to everything. I thought this was an interesting question from Joe Santos, who asked, is Chappies pioneering a new strategy for Survivor? I think I call it strategically physical. Whether the extra food helped him win or not, it plays well in front of a jury, and he's done so well in such a unique way.
So he's talking about specifically like concentrating on the physical, and your gameplay pretty much revolves around like what helps you win the next challenge.
I think it's about being able to frame it in a strategic way, like for this very strategic jury. He can't just be winning challenges. He needs to be like, I don't think they care about that as much. They'd probably be impressed, but he needs to have like a strategic basis behind it. I kind of think about like Luke in Australian Survivor 2019, like he got as far as he could through his relationships. And then it did become about winning out, but there was a lot of strategy in winning out. He managed to vote out Abby through his 2-1-1 that he did at the final five. Like there was strategy behind it, but he could go to a jury and said, yes, I won out. But also this is how I was helping myself win out strategically. It's not just that I'm physically superior. Like I was thinking about it. And I think with this jury, that really does help and work.
Yeah, I think it's all about vocalization, because I think if you're just going in there being like, my plan was to win all the challenges, I think especially in like a super fan jury like this one, they're going to roll their eyes of like, really? That's all you're going to do? Even Chappies himself, right, when speaking to Rainier, said this game is not 80% physical like you may be claiming. look at him now. I think it's all about how you vocalize things, just in a jury in general. And so I wouldn't say it's exactly pioneering it. I think it more so just hammers home this point of, if you want to win the game, you have to be able to vocalize your intentions, whether that was purposefully or not, whether that's BS or not. The people who end up winning are usually the ones that do the best job of explaining their game to the right people. And so I think that just means that Chappies is doing that.
I think Chappies is not pioneering like a new type of gameplay. I think he's playing the way Chappies can play.
For sure.
We'll see
next week if that was enough.
Yeah, let's be clear here. Nobody please play like Chappies from now on. This is not the way to play the game.
Yeah. Only for exactly Francois, Water Swim, Chappies Chapman. It works for you. And it works for no other human.
Yeah, that's like people coming in and being like, well, I'm going to play like Tony. No. Again, you can pick and choose.
So many people say that, though.
I know, but you can pick and choose specific aspects from people's game. I think that's how you play, is you take facets from other people's games that apply to you and your personality and your style the best. This happens with Tony. This happens with Sandra. People come in all the time. This even happens with someone like Rob Bentley, right? They come in and are like, they did such a great job of how to play. I'm going to come in and play exactly like them. No. If you come in like Boston Rob and you try to institute the buddy system, you're going to immediately get on people's nerves the vast majority of the time, because these people are unicorns more than you might think. They are great, but they are great because the gameplay suited their personality. That's the key to a good Survivor game, in my opinion.
Yeah, but definitely we're going to look back on the season as like the food stealing season. I don't know how it happened. I guess for all the food stealing would be probably how it happened. It's just been the most consistent storyline that we've had. And it might, but yeah, to me, it's either winning or losing him the game. He stole, he won. He shared, he lost. For me, that's how it's always going to be framed. And I don't know how we got there. Maybe putting yourself first is the way to do life, future life. I don't know anymore, but that's where we leave it on that depressing note. Verna, you said you're not really tweeting about the show. Where can people find you? I guess, there's nowhere really to find you. You're not putting stuff out on social media. Your wife is on social media looking at the show. Maybe people should follow her.
No, I'm enjoying. We moved our homes to a new town. So I got 3 months off work just to get the family in, and with that took a few months of social media. I still get the odd message and I answer, so I'm just not as active in producing content and putting it out there, but I'd like to answer if someone's got a question, like on Insta or Facebook or somewhere. I'm just not too focused on capturing moments to put out in the world, if you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I'd just like to say final thought. I'm glad we saw as much as we saw of Chappies, Santuni, and Kieran. I'm glad they got far. And I also made a star of Ines, so she did not fall out too early. I would have loved to see more of Dino. And I also wish that Amy could have gone further. Obviously, I know Renier, but we saw a lot of him. But I wonder what Amy would have shaped up towards a final 6-5, how she would have maneuvered. So Dino and Amy, we were robbed not seeing them longer, but I am grateful for Kieran, Santuni, and Chappies.
Yeah, I mean, we know that you know Rainier. He's someone we kind of compared you to him. It's really interesting with Amy and Rainier. We talked about it last week, but even in this episode, Smash and Nicole are talking about how like tied destinies to the end. That one episode, that one challenge that came down to Amy and Nicole was just, that was it, wasn't it? That was the whole end game right there. It is crazy to think what could have happened if that went a different way. That's the what if. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll come back and do, the what if episode. What if Amy won that immunity challenge? This whole season will be so different.
Yep. What a privilege, guys. Thanks for having me.
The privilege is all ours.
So fun.
We love having you on. I love your takes on the game, not only as a player, but as a viewer as well, especially as a diehard fan of Survivor. So, Verna, the pleasure is always ours. You officially have an Invisi now, so you are a Chizzy winner in our hearts. And it's always so great to get your thoughts, especially near, like, again, the pointy end of a season when, you know, the stakes are so
high. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to watch US with you all and getting on that train once we're done here with SA and AU. And then we take it from there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we're at the pointy end of it all. Mike, what do you have going on in the podcast world? Because clearly I'm consumed by Survivor in every way. I think that you are in a similar boat.
You and I are both, to use Werner's earlier metaphor, drowning right now. But this is like a situation we put ourselves in. Like, there is so much Survivor content you and I have been getting through last week and this coming week, but like I am gulping in waters of happiness in that regard. I can't complain too much about it because it's a product I absolutely love. So obviously, as Werner just talked about, the US season is coming in about a week and a half. This past September 22nd on CBS at 8 p.m. with a special two-hour
episode.
There's
all these different seasons that we're currently doing. How would that be the fourth season I cover between now and then?
To be fair, this is a nice hearty 6 days between the SA finale and the U.S.
Thank God for that.
Exactly. Plenty of time to recuperate. So this past week, just finished all of my preseason coverage. I got the ability to get preseason interviews with all the cast. I've been posting those twice a day. Those are all up at parade.com. Rupp, Sister Nino, and I also listened to those interviews and did some bantering back and forth about the contestants. So that's up on robhasawebsite.com. Overall, I'm really excited for this cast. I still have no clue from a production perspective what's going on necessarily. They released the first 2 minutes of the season in a special preview.
Yeah, I can't even watch that.
At TCA. It's a little frightening, a little dangerous, suppose, in the way that Jeff is going for, but I'll be intrigued to see what happens. Of course, more B&B stuff as well. Liana Boris and I are going to get together to do a Survivor preview for that, as well as Big Brother. We're getting together this week. I'm doing exit press for Big Brother. I'm going to pat my own back here. A Big Brother player gave me a shout out when she found out that I was doing an interview with her, which was like really cool. One of those pinch me moments. So if you're into Big Brother, especially the massive historical moment that happened this past week, be sure to check that out. Of course, over on Posha Recaps, covering Lost, covering the X-Files. And if you're a fan of The Circle, which somehow in all of this somehow came out last week with season 3, which is wild. This feels like the Chappie's reward, and that just like reality TV is OP at the moment. There is so much stuff being piled on top. The Circle got thrown on here. If you've been checking it out, I'm doing exit press. I'm talking with a butt ton of people over the course of the next 2 weeks about the season, and I'm coming out with interviews as the episode airs. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of reality TV interviews. And I may be talking to some international Survivor in the next few days, but who's to say?
Oh, yeah, I forgot we're doing that. So there's a lot going on, as you can tell by most of this podcast. Watching these three themes at the same time, by that I mean Australian Survivor, Survivor South Africa, and Heroes versus Villains, which I binged in the past week, is clearly breaking my brain with all the parallels. And also just like, I don't sleep. And when I sleep, I dream about Survivor. And today I said to Peter, I went outside 2 days in a row today and yesterday. And that was impressive. So this is where I'm at. Australian Survivor marches on, as we've said. Exits all happening. We've gotten all the exits recently. We talked to Jackie on the penultimate week. And then I will have Mike and Nick on the finale recap. And then we'll be doing deep dives. That is all part of the plan within the next week. As we've said, Survivor South Africa next week will be just us. Vote in the Chizzy poll. And we're going to get the exits, obviously. And then the deep dive. So that's what's happening in Survivor South Africa.
Well, what are we doing for the poll? Are we going to like retweet it out? Is there like a link they should go to? Okay.
I don't have a link now. I'll tweet it. Follow us at A Mike Bloomtype at Shannon Gates, where you can find that. I'll put it in the Patreon group. I'll probably just put it like with the question thread thereabouts. Subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap Up Suite so you get all of that. As I said, Heroes versus Villains, the number one season on the rankings podcast. I'm doing that with Robin Chappelle. So a lot of Survivor happening in the next week. A lot. And then we get the 6 day off season, as you said. And then I will be doing Survivor Global, the US coverage. I've had a few people ask me, will I be covering US? I'm pretty sure I'm just going to be doing that weekly. I actually already booked my first guest who I won't spoil too much. Maybe I'll do it next week. Keep it, you know, a little bit secret, but it is someone from this season of Survivor South Africa.
Oh, so, are you going to be like Chappies? You have to write it down and show it to Nico and you're the only one who knows it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll vote now and then you'll only get to see it in a week. Like the vote nullifier.
That was so interesting to me that he essentially like wrote in his order to Nico, right? And then like lied about it being like, well, he didn't give me that much information. And I love Smash being like, that's so BS. I know who he met with. He probably met with Inesu or Centini. He's not kidding himself at all.
Yeah, that's your read from your future winner next week. That's what's going to happen. But Verna, thank you so much again for coming on, discussing all of this, you know, even through the trauma, even through coming on, reminding you you didn't win a chizzy, and then talking about
thank you so much for that.
Too relevant to you in a traumatic way. Why do you do this? Like, why? Thank you for coming on, but why? Why do you do that?
Yeah, you guys are real friends. You know what? Yeah. It's been a privilege to connect with you guys and to be a part of the survivor community and to see the game coming out of lockdown all across the continents. And I am here to stay a fan in one way or another. And maybe we'll talk again.
Yes, for sure. Well, we've got a lot of Survivor currently on and coming up to talk about. We once had a very long off season, and now, yeah, 6 days is basically what's ahead of us through a preseason and two postseasons. So thank you guys so much for staying with us. I'm going to throw to the exit interview with Tyson that we spoke about so much on this recap. Hope you enjoy that. And until then, just remember, in life, putting yourself first is vital. Enjoy.
don't put yourself first, please, in life.
Tyson, welcome to RHAP. I'm so sorry to see you go. That was like, it was a long process. It felt like it was going in one direction and then another, and then it just went right back and you were gone.
Hi, Shannon. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. And it really was a long process, and there were so many conversations that were had. And I mean, it was a long time coming. I tried to outrun the rain, but at the end, I mean, they got me.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to have longer conversations about it, but I definitely feel in the moment, the question I have to ask, I mean, there's a couple. The first is, where did Nicole's name even come from? Like, when we see you talking to Chappies on the beach, it's very much Smash focus, and you vote for Nicole. So what were those conversations being had?
When I spoke to Chappies, I basically spoke to him about both of them. So it wasn't just about Anila. I spoke to him about Anila, and I spoke to him about Nicole. But then after that conversation, he told me that he'd think about it. But then he came back to me afterwards and he said he would vote with me before we left for tribal council. But then he was just giving me false hope. Mm-hmm. And he admitted that to Anila. And then Anila came back and told me that, because Anila and I had a very, very good relationship. So he didn't want me being blindsided or expecting something outside of what was going to happen. So he came back and let me know. And I'd spoken to Anila about writing that I'm going to write down Nicole's name. And I was banking on the fact that Anila's a proven flip-flopper. So if he could just do it one more time, then I'd be able to, you know, survive another vote. So I counted on Anila's vote more than I counted on Chappie's vote at the end.
Right. I mean, there's definitely questions being asked when you get into Jury Villa. I know it was all happening really fast, but what's your perspective on the tribal council where we see Chappies talking to you about flipping? You say you'll think about it. He obviously does flip. It goes to the 2-1-1. Was it really just that distrust of Chappies that meant that you weren't going to go with that vote and trust more in Smash?
Yeah, it was definitely that, because just before we left for tribal council, it was the whole thing of Chappies pulling me to the side and telling me he's going to vote with me. When he pulls me aside at tribal council, mm-hmm. he starts off with, I lied to you earlier, right, and I'm going to vote for Anila now. So in my mind, I'm thinking this guy is looking for one last moment of deception before I leave the game. And that could add to his resume. And another thing is that if it's another challenge and the final challenge is going to be endurance. Anila is not a challenge threat at all if it comes to endurance, but Nicole is, because in all the endurance challenges in the season, her and I have done very, very well. So it was always either me or her, even though neither one of us wins it, but it's always either me almost at the end or her almost at the end. So I looked at it from that perspective and saw that Nicole was the challenge threat. And if I potentially go into a final three with Chappies and Nicole while I'm injured, it doesn't really matter who wins. They're going to vote me out anyway. So what's the point of handing the game to Chappies when they're going to vote me out, or trying to get Nicole out, which gives me a better chance of winning the whole thing?
Right, because you feel like Smash might take you to the end. So if you go through with him instead of Nicole, that might give you an extra chance.
Definitely. Because like, I think at that final four, Smash was in the safest position, because if he goes to a final three, all the other two people were going to take Anila with them. So if I'm one of those people and then Anila's also there, it gives me a chance to go head to head against Chappies at Endurance, but I knew for a fact that I can't go against Chappies and Nicole. And mm-hmm. if either one of them win, they're definitely not taking me with, and I become the last member of the jury. So leaving at four and leaving at three for me was the same thing.
Right. I mean, that relationship with Smash was, I thought, pretty key to so many decisions happening throughout the game. Can you discuss maybe what we didn't see throughout that bond? It does become crucial and then obviously splits apart as well.
When we met, Smash and I formed a secret alliance. And it was never a thing of we're going to play the game together, whatever the case was. It was always, if your name comes up, I'll tell you. If my name comes up, you tell me. And we had that understanding. We had a very good relationship, Smash and I. So as the game went along and it made sense for us to sort of basically come out with the fact that we're aligned and we're not like playing the game against each other, it was at the safest point. I think it was Final Six when the family visit. So it's a relationship that started before the merge. So that's why I trusted in his word, because over the course of the season, he had never lied to me. He lied to everybody else, but he'd never lied to me. And the same with me. I'd never deceived him. We'd just been honest with each other from the get-go. And that's why I think at the end, it ended up being my Achilles heel, because I was just somebody who played the game on loyalty and played it on my word. And you can see that in my relationship with Kieran.
So how did you come back from that Final Six vote where he had turned on you, but he had told Kieran he was going to turn on Kieran, and then he came back and the League of Shadows is done? Like, what is the conversations happening within that fallout?
The conversation was basically Smash came and admitted the fact that he was trying to blindside Kieran and it didn't work out how he wanted to work out. So he was coming back and he's going to vote with us, which he did vote with us. And I think throughout that whole sequence, before, I think, Final Seven, when Wardo got voted out, Smash came to me and asked me if I'd potentially be willing to vote Kieran at some point. And I told him that Kieran's a name that I'll never write down, so he shouldn't plan around that because it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then Kieran orchestrated the fact that, okay, one of us three, me, Wardo, and Kieran, was going to go out, so it might as well be Wardo because we're closer together. And then at Final Six, when Smash tries to blindside Kieran, Smash came back and spoke to me. And I understood it from another person's perspective, because if I was one of those guys, I would have tried to blindside Kieran as well. I would have tried to get myself out as well. So I didn't hold any hard feelings towards Smash about that, because even in that whole thing, he protected me because of our alliance. Even when I got injured at Final Five, he still protected me as far as he possibly could mm-hmm. because of our alliance. So with me, I was never mad at Smash. I never held any negative feelings towards him. It was always, I feel for Kieran, because Kieran was genuinely upset. So I had to support Kieran and back him up. But between Smash and myself, it was never any ill feelings towards all that happened.
Yeah, I'm so interested in your relationship with Kieran. I mean, I heard from him last week about the brotherhood. And can you talk a bit about, you know, how it started, how that bond developed, and what your plans were? As you said, you wouldn't have written his name down. He told me the same. Were you thinking, okay, I'm just taking this to the end and we'll battle it out in a final tribal council?
Definitely. With Kieran and myself, we got along as soon as we met, because like, on the very first moment of the season when we got on that mat, we were already standing next to each other. So we go back to camp. We pull out these buffs. We're on the same tribe. We go back to camp, and as soon as we're there, we start talking and we realize that we have very similar interests. We both like football. Mm-hmm. We find out that we both from Durban. And more than that, we find out that we went to the same school.
Yeah.
So immediately the connection is established. But at that point in the game, I was closer to Warda and he was closer to Mike and Carla. So when Mike's name started getting thrown around, I told Kieran that you might want to move away from those people, because if they're going down, you might go down with them, or whatever the case was, before Pinty's name became the target. So me giving him a heads up and us having this relationship was basically the establishing moment of our relationship. So we got closer with each passing day because we spent every single day together. But after the first tribe swap, that's when Kieran and I really got close because we're in the minority together. And it was the first time we had to properly strategize together and work with each other as opposed to being just a part of this huge alliance and going with the numbers. It was the first time that I saw how his brain works and he saw how my brain works. And we were able to realize that our games complemented each other perfectly. And from that moment, we were inseparable.
Yeah, I love asking you guys this in successive weeks, even though it is sad that you guys both went home. It's kind of like playing the marriage game and getting your answers and seeing how you stack up against each other, which is really fun. But so you were going to go to the finals with him, and you talk about these other early Vuna relationships, like Warda, for example. What were those initial bonds? Because, yeah, we definitely see how Warda and Kira become important, but how do you come onto the beach and really start making those relationships who really stood out?
My approach going into the season was I'm not going to approach people. I'm going to let people approach me because I figured that's the best way for me to get as much information as possible. So, and also intentions, like if people are coming to you, then they're very intentional about playing the game with you as opposed to you asking people to play with you and they're not really keen on that, but they're still going to say yes either way. So Warda was the very first person who approached me and she said she's getting a good vibe from me and it was mutual. So it was a thing of she's the first person that came to me and she seemed very genuinely interested in working with me. So I just went with it. Like it made sense for me at that point because nobody else had come to me. But the fact that she was now cool with Anesu, who I also had received a good vibe from at that time, I think that was more of a stamp of approval that, okay, the person that I'm aligned with is also aligned with other people that I'd like to work with as well. So that's how Warda came into it. Anesu, initially, it was just my alliance. My closest alliance members were Anesu and Warda. And Anesu is because she was a really, really nice person and just naturally gravitated towards her like the rest of the tribe did. So initially, those were the two people that I was closest to. And then, yeah, at the beginning, that Carla was an extension of Kieran. Mike was an extension of Kieran. And Pinty is an interesting one because I was really close to Pinty. But then she started to rub Warda and Carla the wrong way. And for the very first vote, I knew that I had to be on the right side of the numbers. So I didn't want to vote her out, but I knew that I had to.
The relationship with Anesu is really interesting to me because we see it kind of getting more separate at the merge. What had happened there? Because you had been together through the first tribe, through the second tribe, and then she's feeling some distance from you and you kind of reiterate that in confessional. What was getting lost here?
The relationship with Anesu, basically I saw red flags when we were in the minority, first tribe swap, second tribe. So we were in the minority as original Vunas. It was me, Kieran, and Anesu. It's the rice challenge. Anesu's the only one out of us who goes for Immunity Island and mm-hmm. Kieran and I are stuck behind playing for the tribe. I understand we're all not safe. You'd expect all of us to go there. She's the only one who does. That's fine. But she goes to the challenge. Kieran and I know for a fact that she won. But then she comes back and she lies about the advantage that she had. And she says she's lost her game and she has like a disadvantage with the name. I think she said it was a vote against her name or something like that. Mm-hmm. So immediately Kieran and I knew that that was a lie. So that's the very first thing, because I trust you enough to show you my idol. I trust you enough to give you the parchment of my idol for you to go give to Teresa. Like I'm basically trusting you with my whole game. But you're lying about the advantages that you have. Everything I'm doing for the sake of our alliance. But then it felt like you're being more selfish than we are. So that's the first thing that made me be suspicious of Anesu. Also, because I'd spoken to Pinty and gotten close to Pinty, Pinty had told me about Anesu's alliance with her and Chappies. So I knew about that. And then with the Marisha votes at merge, because Anesu, for the final tribe swap, Anesu was stuck with, she was stuck at Vuna and the rest of us moved across. So I understood she had to do what she had to do to get along. But once we made it to merge and we had this plan of blindsiding Marisha. She wanted to vote with the opposite alliance, which didn't make any sense to me, because if we're the majority alliance, should this work out, then you have no reason to hide behind a vote. So why are you not taking the risk with us? So that led me to believe to the fact that every time we had a risk to take, she was never around to take it with us. So that's somebody that I knew that I couldn't trust, and somebody that was potentially going to come back to bite us.
Yeah, you were someone who really did like ride for Vuna. You end up playing your idol for Chappies to win at that epic merge vote. The Chappies relationship, I have to get into it. I mean, the highs and the lows of saving him at the merge so he can make it until now. And then, of course, yelling at him about rice and sweets. He's yelling back. Like, you know, you've said that you respect him, I think, at the Jury Villa as a player, but not necessarily like beyond that. Talk to me about this relationship. Like, how was it really going there, especially towards the final days? Like, it was getting heated.
The relationship between Chappies and I is very interesting, because during the first few days, I already had a read on the fact that he's the type of character or the type of personality that I genuinely don't get along with. So I just stayed out of his way and he stayed out of mine, and I was okay with that. I had no intentions of playing the game with him, but I knew that like the further apart we are from each other, the better. So going through the game and finding out certain things about like the girls I was aligned with, Carla and Warda, and they had negative things to say about him and Paul and how the boys turned on them once they got to the other side and all those things. So all those things came across, and I think they came across when Anesu and Dino went to the raid. And so they got a chance to speak, and Anesu brought that message across that the boys had turned on them and everyone was more volatile and all those things. So I already had a bad impression of this person, right? So, but then I just stayed away from him. He stayed away from me. I played the idol at the merge because saving him was saving myself too, and saving my whole alliance as well. Mm-hmm. But as the game goes along, if you look at the season, I'd go out and forage. And every time I'd do that, I'd do it for the whole tribe. Every time I'd go out to get mussels, go out to get crabs, go out to get oysters, it was never just for myself. It was to feed the entire tribe, including Chappies. Towards the end, we were running out of food, right? If you're going to forage for yourself, that I guess that's okay. But it rubs me the wrong way as somebody who every time I do it for everybody, including you. But when you do it, you're only doing it for yourself. But that's okay. Now, with the tribe's food, the food is running out. And just for context, I lost 10 kgs on Survivor. Mm-hmm. That's how hungry I was. So food is running out. We're trying so badly to ration. Every time we eat, we're eating with you. And every time we're asleep, you're stealing the same food that we're sharing with you as well. So it just rubbed me the wrong way. And 30 days in, you're tired, you're sleep deprived, you're hungry, you're wet and cold from the weather. Everything, like, it's a combination of just everything that's rubbing the wrong way. And I mean, you just burst up. And I think it came across very clearly at the tribal council. We're fighting over sweets, the dumbest thing you can possibly have a fight about. But I mean, when you're in the game, you're not even thinking the same way that you would think when you're on the outside.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, I feel like with Chappies, you know, like the saying, like, eat, sleep, blank, repeat? He was like, eat, 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 repeat. Like, there was no sleep. There was nothing else. Like, it was like he could go on reward, eat with you guys, Chappies Diner at night. It was a lot. Like, I understand. So we're going to have a longer chat about it all, Tyson, I think, after the season. But definitely clarified some things about last night's, you know, chaotic vote. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I'm such a fan of you, such a fan of the bromance, and it's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm keen to have another chat with you.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. All right. Bye, Tyson.
Bye.
There you have it, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed all of that coverage. I know I really enjoyed doing the recap and the X interview. So I can't believe this is coming to an end so soon. I also wanted to say that I get a lot of questions about how can you watch the Jury Villa. We talk about, obviously, the extra content a lot in the recaps. There's been some illuminating stuff there. If you become a patron, an RHAP patron at the $5 level, all that content becomes available to you. So that's the easiest way to do it. That's the only way I really know how to do it. So if that's something that you want to watch internationally, definitely become a patron at that level. And if you do, please do note down International Survivor or Survivor South Africa as a reason for that. There was an extremely fun extra Ponderosa scene this week where the jury were all like blindfolded and they had to like the it was like Celebrity Heads, where the blindfolded person would hold up a player in the game and the other person had to like mimic them so that the other person could guess. It was very, very funny. So if you want any of that extra content, do become a patron. Until then, hope you are subscribed to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed, following us for all of it. Yes, it is coming to an end soon, but then US Survivor starts and we're doing stuff with that too. So thank you guys again, as always, for checking out the content. I will see you next week. Until then, keep evolving. Bye.
Survivor.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
1 million pounds.
Million euro.
Million. Rubles.
Tribes of the tribe is
first. Tribe of the
tribe. Tribe.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.